This is PFW in Progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Chuck, I had a double burger.
You shut up. I know what you ordered. I was there.
So give me a sandwich.
You mean your sandwich? I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy?
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in Progress.
Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We're back. I told you we would be on Tuesday.
You did, Fred.
Tom is not here, but news from his house is that he's doing great.
From his house.
His wife emailed me. And they think they got all of it. And so he's resting, a little sore. But he'll be back in about a week and a half. So good news there. He's on the mend.
So absolutely.
That's the Tom. Appreciate all the emails that have been sent in, and people going to pfwinprogress.com and leaving messages for Tom.
I've got to tell you, that's a tremendous website.
It's a great website, although it had trouble loading in IE6.
So right.
I sent James Cuff an email about
that. Yes, the big gray box when you open it here, but when I opened it at home, it was fine.
Right. So it looks good on my Mac at home, but it didn't.
I think the map is the coolest thing with the little pins and all the
it's
people.
It's great. It's good stuff.
My wife particularly enjoyed all the Andy, you suck comments coming out of the Irish region of the world.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I think the website as a whole is tremendous.
But first of
why
all,
why can't we do things like that?
That's true. Can we just hire James and strippers to run Patriots.com?
Well, you never know.
Chris, you're out. You suck.
First of all, I want to address this Diet Pepsi thing.
You might want to tell people what the Diet Pepsi
thing
is.
No, a week ago we had like 10 cases stacked up against the wall, and now everything's gone.
And Paul's refrigerator at home is well stocked.
No, I got to tell you, I am not responsible. I actually took the case that's in my refrigerator right now is my own. It's store-bought.
Wow.
You're lying. It's been a while since you bought one.
That is true.
Dan, what happened to all the Diet Pepsis that were here? He can't. He's shrugging the shoulders.
Did Lou need six cases
Gary's
of Diet Pepsis?
Gary,
no,
it's just it's
where
gone.
Is Gary, by the way?
I have no idea.
Oh, I'm sure he's sweating in some room.
I have no idea.
Probably, getting ready for his wedding.
Sweating in some room. What are you talking about? Update from Tom's house.
He's probably curled up in a corner with a bottle of vodka, just getting ready for his wedding.
Just crying out in the fetal position?
Yeah.
He's not working today?
Actually, it's not him. It's her that's doing that.
Yeah. I mean, she's the one who's signing away her life, and she's still got, something to live for.
Right.
He's washed up over the hill.
She still has good years ahead.
Right.
Right.
She's settling for him, not the other way around.
Oh. I'm thinking of getting, his and her presents, and her. I want to get her those like
easy custom, bake oven.
No, the custom book covers for your books at school. You can
all those stretchy ones.
Yeah, they're cool. Yeah,
so, you should get her those.
Yeah,
she'll need those for social studies.
Right. Anyway,
those jokes were a lot funnier until Andy found out she was like 29
years old.
She's 29.
Yes,
28, 29.
She is, really?
Yeah,
she's like my age. I didn't know.
I didn't know. I thought she was just getting out
of
college.
Actually, she's not like your age because you're 30.
Right, but she's in the ballpark.
Okay, I'm just saying.
You know, like you considered yourself in my ballpark for 4 days while we were in the same decade.
We were in the same decade.
Now you're 40.
Same ballpark.
Paul, you're over
his,
the hill and
Paul
dead.
Paul had his 40th yesterday.
That's
He's
great.
Been angry ever since.
They got him ice cream
angry.
Cake.
It was great.
Yeah.
The cake was excellent.
Yeah.
Very nice surprise.
40 years old. You don't look a day over 45.
That's true.
I went 55 when I said it.
Hey, I can't help that. What are you going to do? I have no hair.
All right.
Freddie, you got one coming.
What, a birthday?
Yeah.
It's not really a milestone. 45 isn't really that big a deal.
It's not the word on the street anyway.
I'm hearing 47, 48.
Real? Who's telling you that?
That's the
word on
the street.
Sources close to the situation.
Sources close to the situation.
Is that right?
I'm feeling pretty good about this.
Sources with intimate knowledge of the situation.
Is it 47 or 48?
47.
47.
Just so you know, other sources were reporting you were 51.
Really?
Right.
Well, I tell people I'm 62.
Fred, so. Just so you know, I got to the bar. I said this. I remember Fred's 40th when I worked here for Fred, and he's not 51.
No, I was born in 61, so that makes
do the math. I can't. No, otherwise, actually, I wouldn't be in journalism.
Somebody had spoken with somebody who went to high school with you, and they made it sound like you graduated. I don't know. It was confusing. But 47, right?
47.
And that's at the end of the month.
Right.
End 20.
25th.
Fifth. You and Bob Doyle, same day.
Yeah, and Matt Wolf, three people in this organization.
All right.
So we have a lot to talk
about.
So now
everybody has turned off the radio.
Right. We have a lot to talk about. Some of it is actually football related.
Well, what does that mean?
And we have some football topics that we need to cover.
Is Nick Cashier's the topic football related?
Well, I mean, I don't know what's there to cover, but we can bring that up. And there's this USA Today article that you want to talk about.
That I think fans, I mean, if they haven't read it yet, are going to, I mean, it's basically saying the Patriots are now the Bengals and they need to, you know, reassess their approach to acquiring players.
Oh, my God.
Written by a former PFW member, too.
Barry Weissman worked for PFW?
He did.
Really?
Yeah, he sure did.
Do I know him?
You know who he
is.
He's
not a really nice guy, is he?
Very nice guy.
Very nice guy. Columnist for the USA Today
Extremely
for years.
Extremely nice guy.
The really nice guy that sits in the front row at the crowd and says, hey, Andy?
Front row. Oh, no.
Who's that?
Not that guy. I don't know why I always forget that guy's name.
He's a very nice
He's
man.
He's extremely nice man.
And just the fact
he works
who
for
I am,
the, like the what's the satellite shoot of USA Today, that Sports Weekly thing, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know.
No, Larry was one of our first national columnists.
Yeah, Larry is a very nice guy, and he never walks by us. It's definitely like Fred's around without stopping to say hello.
Good guy.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that. Nick Cashier, if you want to talk about my night last night with Bill Belichick and Andre Tippett.
Well, why don't we start with that, Fred? I think that's the most interesting.
Not just you.
Well, I was there.
Your night.
Oh, I know. But
I introduced both of them. That was
that's a big
my job. That's a
now, how exactly did you introduce them? Belichick. He'll talk.
I actually
see
wrote,
you next Thursday.
See you next Tuesday. I actually had a written introduction for both of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sure.
And
who
did you stick
it?
To
Belichick
it?
And who?
Yeah, I did. And Andre
and Tip.
Tip was there.
So, how'd it go?
It was good. It was an extra points dinner. People that have the extra points credit card, the Patriots credit card.
How many points people want
to
know?
I think it's like $5 million worth of stuff you have to
are you
have
kidding me?
To be able to go to that. It's, yeah, it's a lot of money.
So could you tell that the people that were there were from money?
Well, the thing about it is the people, a lot of the people that were there were had done it every year.
So they spend $5 million every year.
Something like that. It's up there. But it must they must love it because they come back every year.
Have you done it every year?
I've done it twice. And, you know, they get to actually meet him one-on-one, get a picture with him, get things autographed. Then they eat. Then he gets up and answers questions, any question that they want to ask.
Yeah, I checked on PatsFans.com. There was a thread sort of about it, and there was one guy who really, really enjoyed it and was telling some of the stories.
Yep.
Said he went up to you and talked to you for a little while.
I talked to a lot of people.
Enjoyed a few laughs with you.
Yeah.
Now, did Bill enjoy your introduction? Did he say thanks, Fred, and shake your hand?
He did.
And
he said appreciate it.
He didn't
appreciate
give
it, Fred.
It was a real good washing that I gave him.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Real good.
I wonder if that'll pay any dividends down the road. I'm
going to
say no.
No. But one of the things, and I don't know if it's the person who you read on the internet, but one of the things we were talking about was, you know, the Herald and the Globe and all these
biased outlets.
Yeah, and he said, you know,
and other biased
it's come
outlets.
To the point now where if I want the straight scoop, I have to come to Patriots Football Weekly.
Yeah, that's right.
And I said, it's great to hear.
Bill said, that's why I hate him.
I said, we certainly try harder. I said, we certainly try harder to be
that is our goal.
Know, right down the middle.
I'm not naive enough to think that we don't have little things that affect us either way,
of
little
course.
Biases, but that is. Without question, our goal is to give as balanced a look as we possibly can.
And I like how we do it. Fred's the homer, Paul's Mr. Negative, and I'm right down the middle.
Well, first of all, again, I'm going to fall back on the fact that I have my head superimposed on a Patriot, whereas you have yours on an Oakland Raider.
I thought your head was somewhere else.
So don't tell me that I'm not a Patriots fan.
A lot of love around the room for Drew Bledsoe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, a lot we talk about the museum a little bit, and one guy said,
Bill must not have been happy with
he
that.
He was absolutely my favorite player until Brady came along. But,
he was atop a lot of lists
serious,
until Brady came along.
I mean, I sort of fall into that, though.
No,
as much as I like Drew, I mean.
But I think the general consensus in the room was we can never, ever forget what Bledsoe did for this organization.
And I think that's the general consensus with fans, because all of a sudden he's gone from a punchline to now he's angry when we write on SPFW that we don't think he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer, and we have people emailing in his 45 or 44,000 passing yards and his touch.
I don't
he's not a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
In terms of this organization, he's no doubt.
I mean, they've been making fun of him for being Frankenstein and a stiff and a sack master for the last 5 years. Now all of a sudden he retires, comes to the Hall at Patriot Place, and everybody's
putting him in. He has the numbers to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer, but he is not.
If he had the wins,
not a Hall of Famer.
With those numbers, he would definitely be a Hall of Famer.
But I'm saying his numbers are better, whether you're going by wins, by, you know, touchdown, whatever. His numbers are going to compare favorably with guys that are in the Hall of Fame.
He is
not a Hall of Famer, in my mind. And I think that I am.
If he had won some Super Bowls, he would be.
I think I am as big a backer as anybody of Drew Bledsoe. I just don't think that he is a Hall of Fame quarterback. Now, Patriots Hall of Famer, lock, stock, and barrel. Whenever the 4 years is up, bang, he should be the first one to go in.
Lunch just arrived. I don't know who it's from, though.
I don't either.
Who sent us lunch, Dan?
Two gender.
Somebody from Atlanta.
I'm sure that's what that person was looking for. Somebody.
Let me see.
Come on.
Does he have a name?
Come on. Will you, Mini Gary?
He's busy punching buttons. He's slow back there. Plus, he's trying to eat his sub.
All right. We'll have to figure out before the show's over who to thank.
Now, was this our first that came via PFWinProgress.com? Two gender?
God, did it come?
Gary still hasn't fixed
back there.
Gary hasn't fixed the microphone.
No, he threw his hands up saying, I don't know.
I don't understand why this microphone isn't fixed. This is a multi-million dollar radio studio, and we can't get the producer to talent microphone working. That's ridiculous.
I don't even know what you just said. You know I don't speak ridiculousness.
Producer,
what did
talent.
You say?
We're the talent. That's the producer behind the glass, and they can't, you know, we should be able to talk to us and have the listeners hear it.
Okay. I was just wondering.
I understood a little bit better the second time.
That's not that difficult. What's so hard about that?
I thought you said something like produce a talent microphone.
I think the first sentence lacked a verb. It all had just nouns.
It made a lot more sense the second time.
Produce it to talent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. So last night,
thank you from Atlanta.
They had this,
thank you very much.
They had this extra points thing, and
so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Bill was up, and you know he was his candid self and very open. You know, in that setting,
did anybody ask about just out of curiosity anything really negative, like Nick Cashier, for example?
No,
I wouldn't think so. And I don't think that's appropriate, really, to be honest with you.
That makes it like a press conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean,
although those questions don't get asked at press conference.
Oh, that was
either,
my point. The dinner was just like a press conference.
Yeah, nobody asked about that. So, but it was a good time. He had one funny story that, if you want, I'll share with you.
Sure.
Somebody asked him, was there some moment on the sideline that really just, you know, you remember is really cracking you up? He said, he thinks it was 1984. He was with the Giants. He was a special teams coach. And Ali Haji Sheik was the kicker, and the year before he had set some record for made field goals. So obviously going into that next year, he was going to be their kicker. But in preseason, he had pulled a hammy or something, and they wanted to rest him in the last preseason game. So they didn't have him kicking, and they kept this guy that was in camp. They hadn't cut him yet. So they kept him around for that last game because they knew they weren't going to kick this with this guy. So the preseason game's in the Meadowlands, and it gets down to the end of the game, and sure enough, you know, Giants have the ball. There's like 4 seconds left, and they're down by two on the 18-yard line. So, you know, they call the timeout, and, you know, and they're getting ready to kick. So, of course, I forget who they were playing. It might have been Tampa Bay or something. They call a timeout to ice the kicker. So, you know, the kicker runs off the field and runs to the sideline, and Parcells, you know, goes to Bell and goes, what the hell is he coming over here? What is there to talk about? And, you know, Bill says, "Don't you know? I don't know. I'll go talk to him." So, the kicker goes up to Belichick and he goes, "Hey, coach, you know, in practice, I've never kicked on this side of the field. I've never kicked on this field goal." So Belichick, you know, he's got to think quick. He looks at the others. He goes, "Don't you know it's easier? That other field goal is 6 inches narrower. That's why we have you kick on it all the time because it's narrower." It's like, "Oh, okay, great, coach." And he runs out in the field. And, you know, kicks it through. And so afterwards, Parcells goes, what did he need to know? And Belichick goes, no, he just came over to tell me that, you know, don't worry about it. I'll make it, you know. So he thought that was pretty funny.
And was this guy anybody of note?
He didn't want to give out the name. It was a nobody. It was a guy that never made it in the league. So
yeah, that's a, part of that story was on Pats fans. That was one of the stories that
yeah.
he enjoyed.
Yeah.
That and one that Tippett apparently told about his hardest hit.
Yeah,
on Ken O'Brien.
He hit Ken O'Brien with the Jets and knocked him out of the game. And the Pro Bowl that year, he was in Hawaii, and he went out to lunch with I forget who it was, one of the Jets. And he said to Tip, he goes, "Man, you really messed up our quarterback." He's like, Tip's like, "What? What are you?" No, you messed him up. Just like, what are you talking about? He goes, "He was on the sideline calling out high school plays. We were listening to what he was saying, going down the sheet, and they weren't even close. And it turns out they were his high school plays." So, Dan Tugender has just sent me the person who sent us a lunch, and it is Scott. Right? Yeah, Scott. Scott Chapsky, and he's from South Carolina. He's not from Atlanta. South Carolina. That's not Atlanta. Well, it says SC, right? Oh, that's his initials. Okay, hello from the ATL. So that is Atlanta.
God.
Okay. So, Scott, thank you very much. He doesn't have a question here. He just wanted to send us lunch.
Well, I'm
so
enjoying
it. Idiot!
I'm very happy to accept his lunch. So I don't have an answer either, though.
Excellent, Scott.
Thank you
in
very
Atlanta,
much.
Atlanta, not in South Carolina. Atlanta. Thank you very much.
So what else do we need to bring up?
I like the story. I see that. Those are the kind of things that I would like to talk to Bill about.
Well, Tip had
just his experience.
Tip
had
a good story, too, because a lot of people forget that when in Belichick's first year as head coach in 2000, Tip was still – he was the head of pro personnel. So he said one of his first encounters with Bill – you know, he got a call, said, can you come down here? So he goes down to Bill's office, and he's got some tape up, and he's got Tip's review of a guy, you know, his report. And he's looking at the tape, and he's looking at the review, and he says to Tip, he goes, "You know, we'll just watch this." So he goes, "All right." And then he looks at the report. He goes, "Is this guy average or is he good?" Because I guess in Tip's report, he used both words. Tip's like, "Well, what do you mean?" He goes, "Well, watch him. Is he average or is he good?" And, you know, Tip didn't get the connection at first because he didn't remember what he had actually wrote. So this went back and forth. He goes, "Well, just, you know, take the report back and go look at the tape again and tell me if he's average or good." And, of course, it dawned on him eventually what he was talking about. And that was his first, you know, way of knowing how precise Belichick, you know, really demands all his scouts to be. You know, if you're going to call the guy good, call him good. But you can't say he's both, you know. And he also remembers a story about somebody else who wrote in a report, you know, "This guy's going to be good at special teams." And Belichick called him down and said, you know, "Well, did you see him play special teams in college?" He goes, "Well, no, but, you know, he's fast, he's this, he's that. I just think he will go." You know, if you didn't see him playing special teams, don't put that in your report. I don't want to read that. So, you know, that's how demanding he is of these guys. There's no projection in those reports. It's unless you saw the guy do it, don't tell me that you think he can.
Well,
the attention to detail. I mean, I think we all kind of figured as much, but to hear Tip tell a story, you know, specifically about a report like that.
Yeah.
Not overly surprising.
No, it's
you
good
know, knowing the way that Bill handles.
And somebody asked Bill, you know, do rookies have to work their way up from the bottom? And Bill said, they're not even at the bottom. They're below the bottom. They haven't even got to the bottom yet.
And that's certainly his philosophy, not only on players, but coaches and everything. He believes in everybody starting at the bottom and working.
Yeah, I mean, he was throwing out guys that he was looking forward to working with this year. Fernando Bryant, Sam Aiken, Tank Williams. Didn't mention any rookies.
Right.
You know, didn't mention
any
rookies.
They haven't done anything in the league.
That's right.
Nothing.
So it was a good night. Good night. All right.
Good time.
Did you already eat that sandwich?
Good time. Had by all.
Wow. All right. How many people were at it? Let's see. There were probably four or five tables of eight each. So, and that included a representative from the Patriots at each one. So maybe 28 people, something like that.
It's an interesting event.
Yeah.
Especially for a guy like Bill where – there's such limited access to him.
You don't have that opportunity.
Right.
That's an opportunity. You don't get Bill unplugged.
Right.
I mean, you just don't have access to that.
Why you got to spend $5 million to get it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be right back.
Hey, New England soccer fans, a once-in-a-lifetime doubleheader is heading your way. Five-time world champion Brazil battles Venezuela in Foxborough. See Brazilian greats in action. Ronaldinho, Kaká, Robinho, and Diego. And Venezuela's best, Giancarlo Maldonado and Juan Arango. This historic doubleheader leads off with New England Revolution versus FC Dallas, Friday, June 6th at 6:30 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. For tickets, call 1-877-GET-REVS or go to Ticketmaster.com. Tickets start at $30. Powerhouse Brazil versus Venezuela and Revolution versus FC Dallas. Don't miss it. For tickets, call 1-877-GET-REVS or go to Ticketmaster.com. Players subject to change.
What an opening night for the Revs in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twelman!
Pride.
The shutout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, we're back.
We just missed a close call. Fred was grabbing at his chest during that break, and I thought it was the end. I thought it was the big one.
No, I got like the hiccups. You know how you
get hiccups? Yeah.
Yeah. So I worked it out, though. I'm good.
I was worried that that was, you know, you go down, PFW not far behind.
Once again, thank you, Scott, for sending us lunch. Scott from Atlanta, and if you have a... Oh, wait a minute. He does have something in here.
This is a debacle.
Paul
over there considering eating a second sub.
Well, Dan didn't send me this. He says, guys, hope you enjoyed lunch. We did.
Yes.
With not a whole lot going on other than the Nick Kayser deal, and I'm so beat on negative Patriots stories, I hope this goes away soon, and every question you guys get sounds like a repeat of the previous question. I'd like to know your favorite Patriots game, no Super Bowls, and why. Of course, Andy and Tom's would be anyone that the Patriots lost, seeing
that's
how they
true.
Hate
that's
us.
Very true, Scott.
That's not true.
But what are your favorite Patriot games other than Super Bowls?
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Favorite Patriots.
I think for me, I know one of them that comes to mind is that Tuna Bowl one, Jets-Patriots at Foxborough overtime.
I was so mad that game was close. the whole game. Now, it was a great game, great theater, all that. I agree with you, Fred. But I was so disappointed that that game was close that I couldn't really enjoy it.
Oh, that was unbelievable. That was a great game.
I would say for me, there's three. They all come from 2001 because I think that's a ridiculous season that lends itself to that. The first would be the first game after 9/11. I think the Andruzzi brothers and that national anthem was one of the only times I really got choked up and for a national anthem. I thought that was like a historic event that sort of went beyond football. The Snow Bowl, obviously, because...
That was an unbelievable
game. I was down on the sideline in the snow and just the ridiculous nature of the game, everything in terms of drama. My wife was at the game, so, you know, and she's talking to when I get home. I couldn't even see the kick going through the air and blah, blah. And then Super Bowl 36, just, you know, the first Super Bowl and the drama of that game. And again, my wife was at it, so it was kind of a family experience.
I got so many games. I'm having a hard time picking a favorite. Non-Super Bowls.
Now, you liked it when Geno was kicking at Fenway. There was a few games in there that you really enjoyed.
Yeah. Not surprisingly, Fred, by the way, one of Andy's favorites was a loss. You know, first game after 9/11.
Today, Junior?
I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh playoff game in 96, which was the first first home playoff win in team history.
Fog Bowl.
The fog coming in, kind of a surreal atmosphere. Patriots come out, get a 3-and-out to start the game. First play from scrimmage from around midfield. Drew throws a bomb to Terry Glenn down to like the 2 or the 1. They score, 3-and-out. They get the ball the next possession. They throw a quick pass to Keith Byers. It goes for about a 40-yard touchdown. It's 14-0. Place was just going absolutely berserk. Yep. It was great. That, to me, was that was probably the most fun I ever had at a game. These comeback games,
Chicago,
the Chicago game in Champaign. Yeah, that was a great count. 27-6 in the third quarter. They came back
against the Giants. The big games
in the Meadowlands, the Jets and Giants. The Giants was the bigger one because it meant a lot more. I was at both of those games too. Back in '96, there was a game in '99 here at Foxborough Stadium. Peyton Manning had a 28-7 lead at half and Pete Carroll was still the coach then. They came back in the second half and won 31-28. That was a great comeback, too.
And I love the game, the overtime win in Miami when Troy Brown caught the pass.
Yeah, that's you can't dismiss that one. That was
the famous Steve Burton on the sideline.
Right. Remember the kicks, too, that Miami had a chance to win the game.
Right.
They blocked one
and missed one.
That was a lot of twists and turns and a terrible call on the sideline that gave Miami a long catch and the guy was way out of bounds in the dirt. There was a lot of stuff going on in that
game. I love the Bledsoe games when he broke his finger against Buffalo. That was a great game.
Yeah.
So, a lot of good games, good memories, good stuff, and that's what the Hall of Patriot Place is all about.
Don't forget the Bledsoe to Kevin Turner game. Andy likes to call it the Kevin Turner game in 94.
Sure, I was at that game.
Were you?
Yeah.
I was not.
Well,
that was a great game.
All right.
And then Super Bowl 42 was just...
WebRadio@Patriots.com. That's WebRadio@Patriots.com. On the phone right now is Anthony from Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Good, guys. How you been? Long time no talk.
We've been doing well.
How are you, Anthony?
Good. Can't complain, you know. Just trying to stay cool down here in the Florida weather.
You keeping those pools clean?
Yes. The important thing, the water is there. The pools are there. So
I just got mine opened up last week. Up and running. I did.
Do you work on pools, Anthony?
I got my own pool service company down here.
Do you do, like, cement repair or gunite or
coping
repair?
No, I don't mess with that hard stuff. I just do the easy stuff, the maintenance.
You just open and close, Anthony?
Well, Florida, it's warm year-round. You
don't
have to close them.
That's true.
You got any wives you service?
Any what?
Wives?
No.
You know, those cliches.
Wives that I service?
Yeah, the pool boy.
You know what, though? Here in Marco Island, man, you can't get anything below 60.
Mm. But I understand in Florida you have to have kind of a special fence around your pool so that the alligators don't crawl in and stuff like that.
I don't know about that.
I know you're making a joke out of it, but a lot of pools in Florida are screened in.
I know.
And that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're screened in mostly for the bugs.
Oh,
you
for
know?
The bugs?
Yeah. That's your story.
Well, the bugs and the alligators, of course. But it's mostly for the bugs, and, it helps out, too, because it keeps a lot of the debris out. Yeah. So it makes my job easier. I'm there 5 minutes and I'm out.
I'd like to screen mine in, for Christ's sake. I'm going to cut down every tree on my property. I'm just so sick of it.
Hey, but speaking of great games, while you guys were speaking there, I think a pretty special one for me, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was in 03. And I think it was between, it was between the Dolphins and the Patriots. Remember when it was snowing down and Brucey got that interception and ran it in like 2 yards into the end zone?
12-0.
Yep.
Yeah, 12-0. Was that 03?
Yeah, I think it clinched the division,
right?
And that was the game where they did the fireworks, the snow, the blizzard, and
state of emergency or whatever it was.
There's probably about 40,000 people here, and I'm sure there's 140,000 people that claimed they were here.
Right. That was a great game.
Yeah, that was a great game because, like, I remember it clinched the division. You know, we're in the playoffs and whatnot. And I think that was the last game, wasn't it, for 14-2?
I don't think it was the last game.
No. It was earlier
than that.
Maybe
it was the second to last?
Yeah, it was in December, but I think there were a couple of games after that.
There were two after that.
Yeah.
I had just
moved down here to Florida, so it was pretty, you know, it was the one time, actually, I moved down in November, so I was kind of getting homesick with all that snow, like, being tossed in the air. But no regrets, can't complain.
Now you just enjoy the beautiful weather.
Yeah, it's freaking stifling hot right now. It's like 95 degrees.
Well, that's what we're getting this weekend. It's supposed to be in the 90s here.
Yeah, it's not so bad with the cool breeze. But I called up to give my condolences to Tom. Hope everything turns out okay. He's not there, I take it.
No.
No.
He's home.
What's that?
He's home.
So I just thought I'd give that out there, and my thoughts are with him. So,
all right.
And how's the Brady watch going? Is he in camp? What's he doing?
Brady last night was at Larry Izzo at Larioki with Giselle and a bunch of other teammates, and they had a good time. So he's here with.
I heard that Tom and Giselle got up and sang "Summer Lovin'."
I don't know what they sang, but he sang. Nah,
I am kidding you, Anthony. I have no idea.
He was there. I think they did sing a song together,
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Just you and I?
I don't know. But I guess that was a raucous night, according to
Yeah, sounds like it was a success.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's good that Brady shows up to that. That's a good
well,
thing.
Yeah, and
he's a big name draw.
You got to really give Larry Izzo a thumbs up, too, because this is a guy, I mean, I know he's a special teamer, and maybe not a lot of people know. He's not, like, at the top of the list, but very few guys do as much stuff as he does off the field and in the community. We're talking about, you know, the comparisons to the Cincinnati Bengals. Well, guys like Larry Izzo make sure that that's never going to be an accurate statement.
Right.
And they're all in town, by the way, because camp has started, even though we're not out there.
Yeah, they practiced yesterday.
Yep. So tomorrow will be the first day that we have access.
I had some moles telling me some things about practice yesterday.
Oh, really?
I'm not necessarily at liberty to discuss. But.
Okay.
So let me ask you a quick question. Are the emails blowing up with childish people saying Asante's not giving it his all because of that little hamstring injury?
I haven't seen any. I didn't know. He has a little tweak there?
Yeah.
He got a tweak, yeah. He was out of training camp, or he was on the sidelines. I thought maybe the childish Patriots fans would say, I see, he's got the money.
They will. If it lasts into training camp, we will get those emails mocking Asante Samuel.
Yeah, and I'm sure nobody's emailing you to apologize about Odell Thurman, about that that positive drug test, huh?
No, I'm sure they still want him anyway. They'll wait as long as they can to get him. So spend him a couple more years, then we'll take him. Yeah. Now the emails are coming in for Travis Henry. People want to bring Travis Henry on board.
And now they're even saying, I know he had some off-field trouble.
Right.
but, Jesus.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty bad when... you got 9 kids with 9 different wives. How focused could you be?
Right.
How irresponsible could you be? I don't know. But take it easy, guys. It was good chatting with you.
Yeah, Dan, he gives me a quick
could say he knows
whistle.
How to hit the hole.
The Patriots actually had 4 games after that Dolphins game. They played Jacksonville the next week and then the Jets, and they had even another game after that. So that was December 7th.
I like all those weather games, though, where a good game and weather come together. Not just weather, but some of those. I think that makes for good theater.
A lot of memory. All right, that's Anthony in Naples. And
were you going to ask? Say he said, oh, yeah, I do concrete work on pool. Were you going to say, you want to fly up?
No, because some of my coping chipped off, and I called a guy, and he said he could fix
10,000?
No.
See, I was going to ask him, and I didn't even think, you know, he's in Florida. He's not really opening and closing pools. He's maintaining them. I was going to ask him what a good price was because I've had a guy, and to me it seems reasonable, and I was wondering if I was getting screwed, to be honest with you. And to me it seems reasonable. He opens and closes my pool every year for a couple hundred bucks. But
that's a good price.
You know, I didn't know if how that I didn't really have anything to compare it to. He was a guy that was in Peabody, looked him up in the phone book, and
yeah,
I got him.
All right, Fred, we should talk about Nick Kadger.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, it is a major topic surrounding
Now, can I just start by saying one thing? We talked about Oliver Ross a little bit on Tuesday. I mean, this at least makes a little bit of sense now. We didn't really understand, you know, why they would go at such a late juncture, get a guy who had started, and we all kind of thought that maybe he wouldn't even make the team, but clearly he's at least in some way an insurance policy, right? Oliver Ross, a guy who had some starting experience at right tackle in the league.
But here's the thing, you know, people are criticizing the Patriots for covering up the arrest in April. Well, wait a minute.
Who's criticizing them?
No, there was an article, Patriots or somebody gets slammed for cover. I don't know what.
That's dumb. That's flat out dumb.
Right. The guy was going undercover. You can't.
Well, I don't care if it was undercover or whatever. Why should the Patriots publicize the fact that one of their players got arrested?
April 28th, they're supposed to have a release that says, one of our players was arrested yesterday. You should write about
it. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Reporters have a job to do, and it's to find out the story.
But, I'll look for it on the break or something. But one of the writers said, you know, the Patriots managed to sweep this one under. It's like, wait a minute.
That's their job.
And plus, the guy was going undercover. You can't come out with any news about it.
Right. The issue now is that it's even out now.
Right.
Right.
It shouldn't be out there.
I mean, it's dangerous.
Right.
Right. You don't know who this guy's supplier was. And
right. Yeah, I wouldn't worry about this guy necessarily.
No,
he seems kind of like a small fish, but, you know, the food chain as it gets to a bigger fish.
Right.
There was a quote in the Boston Herald today, the guy who's a former DEA agent saying, if you know, put it this way, if I sold life insurance, I wouldn't consider Nick Kadger a good risk.
It was a BU professor who was an expert on informants and whatnot.
And you know how the pharmacies will have signs, we do not, you know, because for a while.
Those break-ins down the cape.
All those Osco drug break-ins were all Oxy.
And the point there is that this stuff isn't easy to get.
Right.
If you're getting hundreds of pills a week even, that's a good supplier. That means that there's some connections there, and it's not just some two-bit, you know, guy, you know, getting them from a CVS.
So do you think this is a big story?
Well, it's a bigger story than we know. Because, you know, you don't stop a guy for speeding and a couple pills and put him with a wire.
Right. Well, my guess is they were going to try and get him for distribution.
Right, because he had enough on
that. That would be the threat you hold over his head to get him to help you.
Well, that could be.
That's got to, I mean,
I don't think he turned
for a misdemeanor and a speeding ticket.
Right.
How much trouble was he in to turn?
Exactly.
He had to have been in significant trouble.
So in that respect, it's very serious.
Yes.
And it's also, you know, we've known some things about Nick since he's been on the team, that he's had a problem, you know, with alcohol before, and he's got kind of an addictive personality, it sounds like.
But my question would be the story, not just the actual incidents, the story, because of the Patriots, is this going to be
issue? I don't think so.
You know, oh, you had Willie Anderson. I mean, there's already stories out of USA Today listing all the events of the offseason and the black cloud of the organization.
The only way I think that this becomes a bigger story than any other guy on any other team being busted is if, because of his wiretap, some big OxyContin ring all of a sudden is busted.
Right.
And he was at, you know, part of making that happen. Now, that's kind of a positive story, even though it's tied to a negative. But that's the only way I think it could get it any bigger than it is right now.
Because I personally, first of all, I generally assume a lot of players are on painkillers. There was a quote in the Boston Globe today saying, you know, from a player who played here in the 90s, wondering why he had to go get it on the street because it's available in the locker room. I generally assume part of doing business in the National Football League is painkillers. Sort of like as a wrestler. I assume you're on the road, you know, 8-9 times for a 2 week span and you're getting beat up. You need to take some things to kind of keep everything moving. Whether that makes it okay or not, I think his biggest mistake, and I told Paul this, was...
You do know the wrestling's fake, though, right? I just want to make sure of that.
Yes, I know wrestling's fake.
That's because it's fixed, goof.
Yeah.
When you're thrown off a cage, I'm guessing it hurts.
As my brother used to say to me, can't fake gravity.
Right. But I said to Paul, I think, you know, his mistake here is not having a prescription. I generally assume you can find a doctor who will write you a prescription for it. It's sort of like, you know, when we talked about Rodney Harrison, I think his greatest mistake, I don't think he's one of a limited number taking HGH. He ordered it with a credit card for Rodney Harrison at Rodney Harrison's house.
Right.
That's what I think he really screwed up.
And the other thing that comes into play is what you guys were alluding to any potential distribution, because right. that takes it to a different level. If that's, you know, and there were reports that he had was buying upwards of 100 pills
every
3 or 4 days. It's possible that it was all for himself, and that's not. And I talked to a couple of people about this that know a little something about medicine and drugs and whatnot, and that's not, I guess, out of the realm of possibility that one guy was taking, say, 20, 25 pills himself a day. Therefore, if you needed, 100 or so over 3 or 4 day span, it's not completely unrealistic, but I would have to think if he was getting that many that there might have been some sort of distribution involved. That's where it could be a bigger deal for him. And, right. and the fact that he was used by the DEA to get the bigger fish tells me that he was in more trouble than just, as you put it, Fred, getting pulled over for a routine traffic stop, which, I've been fighting one for less than that.
I got pulled over 2 days ago. First time in a long time.
Did you get off?
Nope.
How much?
$100.
Speeding?
Yeah.
That caddy rides so smooth, you don't know how to fight it.
That was a real jerk, too. Usually when I get stopped, they just give me a warning.
Did you tell him that? Usually when I get stopped.
I was going to say, you just said that was the first time in a long time. Usually when I get stopped,
I don't get a ticket, though.
Did you try your thing with, this is my Patriot's ID. Let me find my real ID.
I don't pull that. The way I deal with it is I'm always very cooperative. I don't even question, what did I do? I let them do all the talking. I'm just very nice. Then when they tell them, I'm sorry, I didn't realize it. And they usually let me off. But this guy was a real jerk.
Why?
I don't know.
He gave you a ticket.
He looked like he was having a bad day.
Was it a statey or a local guy?
No, it was a local guy.
Yeah, the stateys are the ones that get me. Yeah. They're so arrogant.
Yeah, I don't like them.
They're so arrogant. I had a state. The one I was at court for yesterday, and I don't know how I would. I guess they inform you. That's the other thing that everybody that I talk to is like, so how did you make out? I'm like, well, they said they're going to let me know. I guess they send a letter and they inform you of the verdict. Where is this? Yeah. I felt like I was on Law and Order.
Right. What are you, applying to college?
But I'm sitting in there, and I'm waiting in the back, and I'm waiting for them to call my case. And one after another, they're going up there, and it's like, petty theft. And this one stole property in excess of $250 from the Canton Public Schools. I'm like, where am I? I felt like I was in some sort of surreal world. I'm like, I got a
speeding. You set a record.
I was like, I got a speeding ticket. I just want to see if you can let it go. I'm a good guy. Give me a break.
Criminal.
So
evidently, I'll find out, I would think, in the next couple of weeks how I made out. But okay. Should have brought representation, Fred.
Did you run into Nick Kasher there?
I did not run into Nick Kasher.
Eric Scalavino ran into Nick Kasher in the lobby this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Didn't really speak with him. Just
ran into him.
Yeah, literally crossed paths with him. You think it would be funny, Fred, if I went up to Nick later in the year in the locker room and said, Nick, you got a couple minutes, I want to talk to you for a story, and say, I'm recording this, by the way, are you? And ask him if he's wired. He probably wouldn't laugh.
No.
But will he be here for me to interview?
I'm going to say that he will not be conducting an interview this year. I mean, he's very rarely interviewed, period, anyway.
Oh, he's on ESPN SportsCenter right now, under the tab Arrested.
So I'm guessing,
is he going to even be here?
That's a good question.
I think there's a chance he's not here.
I think, and it's because of what you alluded to, Fred. It's a lack of reliability. I think maybe that would
accountability.
Be, yeah,
Bill likes players that are accountable.
Andy and I talked about this off the air, and Andy made a point that maybe on a Friday night, Bill can't afford to be saying, okay, hey, by the way, Nick Kasher's not going to be available on Sunday for whatever reason,
right?
And that would be the reason, not because he got arrested or because of the severity of this particular thing. Because let's face it, we know that they're not all choir boys, and we know that some of them get in trouble.
Right.
I mean, it's an unfortunate fact of life in today's sports, but it is.
Even more than that, as I said, I kind of think of it as not a performance enhancer, but part of it. Like, to me, that marijuana is you choose to – that's a drug of social – Kevin Falk was going to a rap concert, or that's a choice. I almost see this as, I take creatine to get a little stronger in the off season, and during the season I take some painkillers because I get beat up every Sunday.
Right.
Like, I almost see it as part of doing business. That doesn't make it okay that you didn't have a prescription, but to me it's like a necessary evil of NFL life. He's not the first player to be take painkillers, to maybe even be hooked on him. I mean, we all know that Brett Favre was hooked on him. He's one of the faces of the game over the last
15
years.
Yeah, now the difference would be with the Brett Favre situation, and I don't really know the whole story with Favre either, but was he purchasing them on the street for, you know, upwards of 100 at a time, right, for potential distribution, or, which I know was the case, he had a prescription. Now, you might say, you know, Cash's biggest mistake was that he just, right, was stupid.
Get
he
some
didn't
quack
get
to get you a prescription. Go online and Google need prescription.
Well, where is Eric?
He is finishing up a story. He'll be down when he's done.
45 minutes. Where is Eric?
I knew we were one short besides Tom, but I forgot who it was, and then I realized it must be Eric.
I'm just enjoying my picture of me on Bo Jackson's body.
I do have an email from Tom Casale.
Okay.
That he would like me to read over the air. He says, "Hey, everyone. I want to thank people for all their kind words. It really means a lot to me. I would like to tell you that I'm doing well, but I'm not. I'm in pain, and I can't talk. I don't know what Allison is telling you, but I suspect she is enjoying the time off from my inane babbling. I have a funny story for you. I'm living in Andy Hart's hell. If I mean when Andy goes to hell, this is what it will be. Him not being able to speak. I have this dry erase board where I write things down. So this morning I heard a nurse in the hall say, just have him open wide and swallow. As I tried not to laugh, I began thinking about how fast Andy would be writing on this erase board to get all his stupid comebacks out. It sucks. You know all those witty comments I make? They aren't as witty when you have to write them down. And, Paul, I know you're thinking this whole time, great, where the hell is the commentary? I'll have Allison send it to you. I just want to tell everyone that I'm going to beat this thing, not because I'm strong, because I'm not. If I was told I was going to die soon, I would be curled up in the corner weeping like a baby. I'm actually so weak and would put up so little fight that if I ever had a year to live, I would probably drop dead in 3 months. The reason I'll beat this is because I believe God wants me to die from diabetes. So it will be the diabetes, not cancer, that takes my life down the road. So I have to look forward to, which is nice. Thanks again, everyone, and I'll see you soon. By the way, Andy, did you watch the fights on CBS?
Yes.
I figured you would be the only one there who watched it. I thought it was an utter disaster. The best fight of the night was between those two girls. Awful. Oh. See you soon. P.S. Nick Cager is long gone. You can take it to the bank. He is done.
I thought there were two good fights on that card.
Yeah, I did watch it, by the way. I watched the Kimbo
Slice. Yeah,
but
you watched the crappy fight.
I watched the Kimbo
Slice. The main event.
And I agree with Tom. It was absolutely dreadful.
The girls' fight was good, and the one before the main event between two guys was they beat the crap out of each other, and it had to – the doctors called it. They actually didn't finish the fight.
That was mixed martial arts.
Wait a minute. His commentary is not coming on a whiteboard, is it?
All right. So that's Tom's update. So he's in pain, but he's going to be okay, it looks like.
It's good. It just hit me that Anthony gave his condolences. Isn't that what you do when someone dies?
Yeah.
Don't you just say my thoughts are right with you, Tom?
He didn't die.
Let's get to some emails, shall we? Webradiopatriots.com.
Yes.
Bill Berry wants to remind fans that on ESPN, oh no, on Sportsline.com, there's a knockout tournament for mascots. And right now, Steely McBeam is going up against Pat Patriot. I guess Steely McBeam is the Steelers mascot.
No offense.
And,
better.
right now, Pat Patriot is losing 57% to 43.
He should.
And,
that's a blowout. Then.
And Bill's theory is most fans hate the Patriots and would vote against a cheerleader versus a monkey in a beauty contest if she was in a Patriots cheerleader uniform. Then they realize by forcing Steely to advance, they can force Pittsburgh, we are too blue-collar to have a gay mascot Steeler fans, to face their latent homosexuality. Do you agree, or is that long off-season period between the draft and – okay, anyway.
Well,
we have to be biased even in that. Can't we just look at it as a competition between mascots? Steely McBeam is better.
Is it?
It's cooler.
I got to tell you, I don't really know a lot of the mascots around.
Doesn't
the league,
he have the big beam on his head?
I'm not a big fan of our mascot.
Our mascot does nothing. He doesn't have a four-wheeler. We've been down this road before.
I mean, you go to Kansas City, and they go out there,
right,
and they have, like, these boxing matches between mascots, right, and like, they come out flying on a four-wheeler.
I say Pat Patriot's a bottom 10
it's
mascot.
It's very tough when your mascot has to be a human.
Steely McBeam's a human.
He's got a girder in his head.
No, I know. They cartoonized him.
Right,
which
they did with Pat Patriot.
Not enough.
Not
make
enough.
Him even make give him a superhero power.
But
or something.
Can he do stuff? Like it's not the animal.
You mean, what
things.
Are his superhero powers?
No, but can
he walks around?
Entertain. He walks around on the field. He doesn't do anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's 50 years old.
But it's not about who it is. You're missing the point.
I know.
It's game presentation.
Yeah,
it's all part of the package.
Gary doesn't want to do that.
I know.
Give him a rocket launcher or something.
He doesn't want to copy other teams.
Come up with something creative,
right.
New.
We have to come up
no,
with
his
something.
No, his excuse, I don't have a budget. No one gives me a budget. I don't have a budget. I've got a budget of zero.
Yeah. His budget is if it's a good idea, we'll
right.
do it.
We need
something.
So how much does a four-wheeler cost? Or a Segway. Or give him some sort of a vehicle so he can zip around the field. You have field turf now, so you don't have to worry about him ruining the field.
Right.
Get him something.
Okay.
Fly
a horse, for Christ's sake. He's a patriot. Give him a Paul Revere horse.
No, shoot himself off a trampoline
the Colts
or
and
something.
The Broncos do that. We can't do that.
He's Paul Revere.
Yeah.
Right? He's a loosely, I mean, that's based on a Paul Revere time. Give him a horse.
Yeah, get a trampoline out there. Let
he can
him shoot
come.
Around.
He can yell. The Colts are coming. The Colts are coming.
You know, we don't shoot
do
anything
something.
Into the stands or anything.
See, I always wanted to do.
Yeah, how much can a t-shirt launcher cost? A couple hundred bucks? Anything.
I always wanted to do, like, the week before the game. You go and you film like a series of things in Boston, like at well-known places where, you know, he's being chased or he's chasing the other team's mascot or something like that, or, you know, and then
we just went from a budget of zero to like a full
no,
movie
up,
where
now we can get Spielberg on board.
Like he goes through different towns and then it ends up like, you know, the movie ends and then he comes in with the horse into the stadium, like he's finally delivered
right.
the message, like Paul Revere, like
I
you're
love
talking
it.
About.
I think you could cut out the movie part and make it simpler, and he just comes into the stadium and does it, and it'll
right.
cost a lot less. Why don't we get a mechanical horse?
Boring!
Shut the bleep up.
You know, like one of those bulls that you get knocked off?
Well, it would have to actually move.
Oh. A mechanical horse? That wouldn't cost a lot. you want a robot now.
Or it could just be like a motorcycle with a horse on top, a
you
body.
You have Mr. Kraft up in his box controlling the whole thing. Yeah, that wouldn't cost anything.
Can we have something, Fred?
Well,
something. Anything.
You're asking the wrong guy. Gary's in charge of game day
entertainment. You know Gary doesn't do anything.
Do you get involved in that as Gary's intern? Are you Gary's intern?
Does he make you go under the desk like he did the last intern?
Oh, Andy!
See now.
Andy! What is wrong with you?
Is Gary listening?
And he wasn't in. She wasn't an intern. He says that all the time.
Where is Gary?
Not she wasn't under the desk.
Is Gary with Eric right now? Bill in Malden writes in, my 12-year-old son is a big Pats fan like myself. I guess he downloads the podcast sometimes and listens to it.
Uh-oh.
He asked me the other day, Tom says Melissa Stark likes it in the can. What does she like, Dad? I'll admit, I stuttered and stammered and couldn't think of a good answer at the time. Maybe I should have said tuna fish.
Yeah.
Fred, since you are the ringleader of the circus, why don't you explain to my boy what Melissa Stark likes in the can? I'm sure he'll be listening. Good grief.
I think tuna's a good out because they
tuna.
Have that new
about,
pouch.
How
you know,
about
the
we go with this?
That's absolutely what we were talking
how
about.
How about we go with this?
Cherry pie?
Diet Pepsi's big, right, on the show, Fred?
Yeah.
You would complain about our lack of Diet Pepsi. Well, we usually drink it in bottles.
I like it in the can.
And Melissa Stark likes it in the can.
As do I.
Okay.
It keeps it colder.
That's,
I prefer the bottle.
Okay. That's what we were talking about, okay?
Yeah.
So Bill and Malden and Bill Jr., Melissa Stark likes to drink Diet Pepsi in the cans.
As do we. Mish in Montreal, anyone consider the possibility that the chick Eric met in Egypt is in fact the emailer Carmini? I think he means
Carmani, whatever his name is.
Think about it. She's been stalking
whatever
him for years, knows things about him he doesn't even know, and then she hears he's going to Egypt, so she finds out where he's staying and what boat cruise he's on and bumps into him at the Scrabble table. And now that they're back, she's trying to get him to talk about this girl, what he thinks of her, and whether they kissed. Anyway, I'd just like to throw out a quick question for a great moment in PFW Progress history. One of my personal favorites that seemed to fly under the radar was a few months back. Fred was talking about his back shaver, and at one point he states, well, I was thinking maybe at our next pool party we could pass it around, meaning pass the shaver around and shave our backs together. I mean, there's been some pretty gay moments in the show, but come on. You know, there is nothing gay about good grooming. There's nothing gay about that. So
I agree. If you want to shave your back, shave your back.
I think
that
it's a good idea.
So gay.
Mine is starting to pick up the pace a little on growth.
Is it really?
I'm a little worried.
Because you're off the steroids now. That's what the steroids gets rid of your body hair. Now it's coming back.
I thought steroids caused body hair.
No, I think it's the opposite.
No, because women who take them grow mustaches and
that's because they do
penises.
Yeah, because it gives them more hormonal stuff. But
yeah,
for men,
testosterone.
No, for men it gets rid of the body hair.
Two-Gender is really enjoying this show. He's cracking up left and right in there.
Which means that the fans are probably mad at us because right. we haven't really talked a lot about
We've
football.
Been talking about what the emailers bring up. The guy brought up mascots. We talked mascots. Well, Steely McBeam is better.
John from Lynn writes in, what's up with Gary Guyton? The guy is the fastest linebacker in the combine, but he doesn't even get drafted. I know he had only 15 reps in the bench press, but can't they beef him up in an NFL program? I believe he had some production in college. I know I have no life when I've memorized combine numbers.
He did have one of the fastest times at the combine in the running stuff, and he was productive. I don't know. Yeah. I think he is an interesting case to be that just passed up that much. And the strength is probably part of it. But is there something else there? I don't have an answer
wasn't,
to that question.
He looks like, kind of like a tweener to me. Like, I'm not sure if he had, if he fits
here
at one spot. Yeah,
but I mean, he was productive in college, and he can run around. Why didn't the Seahawks draft them to be Lofa Tatupu's backup?
No, I'm talking in terms of what the emailer is wondering. You know, here, you know, in terms of the Patriots, I'm not sure if he fits for us.
No, but I just think Bill saw a guy who goes, "Well, I can't believe everybody passed him up. Well, I'll sign him as an undrafted free agent." And he probably looked at it. His agent probably said, well, they don't have many linebackers. And Bill is good at putting players in position to succeed, even if you don't fit perfectly.
And we should say that based on the little we've seen so far with passing camps and stuff, Andy and I have seen him both inside and outside.
Yep.
You know, he's been taking reps you know, with different units and different groups and stuff. So maybe he does have a little versatility there. With that speed, you know, I don't want to offend Bill, but I would think with that kind of speed and athleticism, he might translate to special teams. I haven't actually seen him do that, so I wouldn't submit that in my report.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
But
Bill doesn't want to look at my draft thing where I put special teamer.
Did you ever see him play special teams, Andy?
No, I'm projecting. It basically means I don't think he can play offense or defense.
But really the reason why John from Lynn wrote in is because Gary Guyton's name reminds him of Gary Glitter, the pedophile that wrote the old Pats touchdown song. I know he's a pervert and likes 12-year-old girls, but the Pats haven't won a Super Bowl since they changed to the current lame assortment of songs. Why should the Pats be punished because some guy got convicted for something that Tom Casale would do in a heartbeat if he was in Thailand?
Wow.
Speaking of pre-versions, God only knows what Eric was really up to in Egypt. Yeah, he met a girl. I love that one. Poor Eric. Is he going to be here at all?
He said he would be coming down.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes it takes him a little longer to tie up his stories than others.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break because it's 12:59. I have to ask Andy about this mega scooter that I see on TV. I'll be right back.
Hey, New England soccer fans. A once-in-a-lifetime doubleheader is heading your way. Five-time world champion Brazil battles Venezuela in Foxborough. See Brazilian greats in action. Ronaldinho, Kaká, Robinho, and Diego. And Venezuela's best, Giancarlo Maldonado and Juan Arango. This historic doubleheader leads off with New England Revolution versus FC Dallas. Friday, June 6th at 6:30 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. For tickets, call 1-877-GET-REVS or go to Ticketmaster.com. Tickets start at $30. Powerhouse Brazil versus Venezuela and Revolution versus FC Dallas. Don't miss it. For tickets, call 1-877-GET-REVS or go to Ticketmaster.com. Players subject to change.
What an opening night for the Rez in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Back to PFW in progress. Short little break.
We missed the all right part.
Web radio at patriots.com. Let's see.
508-543-7482.
Good, Andy.
Well, you never say it, as people point out often.
They still seem to call.
They want
to call. You guys complain every time somebody calls. You roll your eyes.
Is the number available?
First of all, you're not supposed to say that out loud.
PFWinprogress.com is the number available.
PFWinprogress.com.
Is the number on there?
I don't know.
And again, I got to give props to James for that.
Tremendous.
Site.
Great
I mean,
site.
I can't believe how well done that is.
Blowspatriots.com away.
Oh, yeah. It's tremendous. I only wish that we could do stuff like that.
The map, the Google. I really like the map.
Tremendous. Did you check out the map, Fred?
The photoshopping.
It didn't load right on IE6.
Put a pin in and sign up, put on the map. It's great.
Good stuff.
We need to urge everybody, though, to go and put a pin in, because right now there's not every place that calls is represented, so we need everybody to. Okay. I don't think the guy from the Congo has gone on yet.
Let's see. Ethan from Delaware. First off, I want to wish a rapid recovery and best wishes to Tom. Second, even though I am quite certain you already knew this, Eric, Mark Twain did put certain restrictions on the use of we in referring to an I. Were we talking about that at one point?
I don't know what you're talking about.
He says the kings and presidents, majestic plural, the editors, editorial plural, so Paul is in the clear, and people with tapeworms, so Andy is allowed. I don't know what he's talking about. I have no idea what he is talking about.
Sounds kind of funny.
I'm not sure I understand.
Yeah.
Tapeworms. I don't know.
Also, he says, I wanted to get your opinions on the USA Today article on the Patriots. They take a pretty balanced look at the year-long stretch of negative press the Patriots have been under for the past year. I'm not worried about the specifics of each case as they have been discussed separately, but I think the last paragraph that went into how wearing it is on the organization. I could see all of this piling on top of the Super Bowl loss to weigh heavy on the mental state of the team. Do you guys think that all of the off-field stuff, which might not usually be a distraction, could be magnified by everything else to be a problem?
No.
But I think we did talk about it. That is the one thing
it is interesting,
that
yeah.
you need to be concerned is state of mind after that season.
You know, and I think that they have displayed over the years a tremendous amount of focus and resiliency and all of the other positive aspects that you would say for the mental aspect. So my knee-jerk reaction would be to agree with Andy and say, no, I don't think it's a factor. But I do think that after a while, when it's just a constant grind, that even if it's not a conscious thing, that at some point it kind of catches up and wears on you the way that the emailer was talking about.
Yep.
And, does that equate in a loss, or does it equate in a bad season? No, I don't think it's going to equate into a bad season where, you know, you're looking at it at the end of the year and wondering if they're going to make the playoffs. But you wonder if they're going to be as good as they could be. The way the whole season unfolds on the field.
The one thing I worry about would be Brady, because I think he's a guy that doesn't always handle it well. It clearly irritates him.
Things
the paparazzi.
Bother him.
And so I don't think the team as a whole is affected by it or will be, as they talked about 18-0 and Spygate and Brady's love life and it all building and having a cumulative effect. I don't think that'll affect the entire team, but if it affects Brady even 1%,
sure.
That certainly affects the entire team. Because I think Brady's the only guy that's susceptible. I don't think Bill will allow it to affect him, and I don't think the players will allow it to all the other guys. You know, I don't think that Rodney Harrison cares. If anything, he'll use it somehow as some weird motivation. I don't think anybody else. The one guy is the quarterback who, at points this seemed like he tried to get away from New England this year in the offseason, was, you know, in L.A., New York, all around the world, Costa Rica. If he is trying to distance himself from pressure, from the spotlight or whatever, and that affects him, then you have an issue because he's clearly the most important player on this team.
By the way, his ex-girlfriend did another magazine story about how hard it is to be a single mother.
Yeah, but she doesn't talk about him.
Does she need to?
Well, she could be flat out, like, ripping him.
I think it's really odd. I think it's really odd.
She was a B actress now, and she's using this to keep in the limelight.
You know? I don't know what she's trying to get out of it. I don't know. To me, if it was, shouldn't say that. That's not fair. But
Pregnant?
No, I was just gonna. I mean, it doesn't really matter what I would choose to do. It's her choice. It's not for me to say what she should be doing. So that's why I said it's not fair for me to say, and it's not. I would choose to keep a lower profile, but that's just me.
Ethan also says, I need to disagree with Fred. I really do not see Victor Hobson's performance having any bearing on Sale coming back or not. I do not see the depth at inside linebacker being so deep that even if Hobson is of starting caliber, then having Sale as a rotation player is still a great thing for the team to have if he's healthy. So
yeah, it'll be something to keep an eye on. When training camp starts and you're looking for something to worry about every day, that'll be the thing. You know, is Junior coming back or what's the deal? I kind of agree. I think that Victor Hobson will be fine, but I don't really think that'll have much of an effect on Junior Sale.
I think Junior Sale plays for the Patriots this year at some point.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as I said we talked about it on one of our podcasts, I don't necessarily think it might be training camp. I think there's a chance he doesn't come here in training camp, and then all of a sudden, midway through September or October, Brewski
he's on one of those emergency
twists
lists
a knee or something, and all of a sudden Junior Sale signed, sealed, delivered, and is playing.
That was a question that was asked of Belichick, and, Belichick went over the top saying how great it was to be able to coach a guy like Junior Seau and true Hall of Fame. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and it was a privilege to coach him. And that he has some injury stuff that he's working on. That even if he wouldn't be ready to play right now anyway, so they're just going to wait and see what happens with that. But somebody says, "Boy, he really wants to win," and Bill goes, "Oh yeah, yeah, he wants to win."
I think all sides benefit. As you said, he can get healthy. He doesn't get the wear and tear. And then Mayo and Hobson or whoever get extra reps in training camp in the preseason. And I don't think you worry about Junior Seau, A, being in shape, or B, being in tune with the defense when he gets here. I think he's, enough of a veteran so that
totally agree.
You give him a few days to get into the run of the mill of everything, and I think you throw him on the field and he plays.
Let's see. Mike Gurkin.
Pickle Man.
Signed
the map, Pickle Man, by the way.
I saw that.
I want to wish Casale good luck with his throat surgery. I had a few comments regarding the recent draft picks. I found a highlight tape of Vince Red on the internet, and the guy is a freak.
Yeah.
Not only is he really big, but he looks fast. My question is, how does a guy with this type of physical ability not get drafted? I realized that early on he had some off-the-field issues, but a lot of guys had issues worse than him, and they still got drafted.
But he had to switch schools, and then he had 1 year at Liberty, a small school.
Right.
So, I think that you put the red flag of a failed drug test with the fact that, the limited production.
Yeah, you get a lot of guys that get into trouble, but they're not a lot of guys that get into trouble to the point where they're kicked off their team.
Right.
And they have to go to another school as a result. And I'm not saying that, that makes this guy a bad guy, but I'm saying that might be, an extenuating circumstance as to why the guy was, undrafted.
Mike says, how do you guys see the quarterback situation playing out? You have to believe that O'Connell has a roster spot locked up. So does that mean that the Patriots will carry four, or will Gutierrez or Casale get cut, depending on who performs the best in camp? The problem with cutting Castle is that it leaves the team with no experience at the backup position.
If you keep him, you have no experience at the backup position.
Either way, you have no experience because neither Gutierrez nor Castle has played any meaningful minutes.
I'll absolve myself from this.
I would agree that O'Connell's not going to get cut now if they choose to do something where, he twists an ankle or something like that. Then,
choose to? What are you inferring, Paul?
Yeah, well, if he were to get hurt. That's what I'm saying.
The Foxborough flu?
Yeah. That could keep him around, but my guess is that Gutierrez and Castle are fighting for a spot, and I don't think there's any way they keep four guys in the active roster.
In fact, they could go the Andy Hart route in his reactionary response to passing camp and cut them all and say, let's be honest, if Brady goes down, we're screwed. Why are we going to carry a backup?
So, I mean, we haven't even started training camp yet. We haven't even had mini camp. So it's hard to say definitively what they're going to do, but in my mind, it's going to be Castle and Gutierrez for one spot.
Nick Ritchie from The Dirty has called in. He's got a note.
Love
he says
Nick.
If there's anyone at the game tonight that happens to be by the Lakers bench, just mention, ask Farmer. Who's Farmer?
Jordan Farmer.
Ask Farmer about the napkin. He'll know what you mean.
I love it. I don't know what it means, but I love it.
And
so we should tell Bill, because if maybe he goes.
Is Bill going?
I don't think so, but maybe if he did, he'd be within.
Maybe Glenn. I'll call Glenn. He'll
ask him about
there.
The napkin.
I was on thedirty.com
today. Sounds kind of gross.
They have this video of the guy ransacking his office. Have you seen that video?
No.
Oh, it's hysterical. The thing that makes it so funny is all these pussy guys just kind of like on the fringe. They don't want to like
Fred,
get
you say
anywhere
a lot
near.
Of words that you really shouldn't
you can't
say.
Can't say that?
No.
I heard a whoop in the other in the other room there.
I just love how he laughs and doesn't care, even though he is like the guy overseeing the show right now. He's producing.
We don't have a dump button.
Hey, the mic works? Or they can't hear that?
No, they can't hear. Only we can hear it. No, but they have this video of this guy that just goes off and starts throwing computer monitors and hits people in the head. And
you're not, you don't believe it's fake?
No, I think it's real. I do. It looks real.
It's not Chris Ferreira, is it?
It could be.
Luckily, he's not strong enough to pick it up.
If someone goes berserk in the middle of an office, who thinks to say, I'm going to tape this so I can put
it
in the
office? No, it was a security camera.
Oh, okay.
It was a security camera.
Okay, I'm sorry. My bad.
Although in today's day and age, people are more and more reacting
well,
to take photos
and video. Well, no, but there
were
people taking pictures with their cell phones.
Because all the news, the regular news now says, you know, if you have any, email us your photos from your phone or video from your phone if you want to help us contribute to the newscast. And so they're looking for people. I mean, they're taking the dirty approach to news. Send us all your footage. But Jordan Farmar.
The other thing
about
I thought
the
was-
napkin.
The other thing I thought was funny is that DonChavez.com is another one of those sites. They're telling people to chant, no means no. No. So.
Oh, to Kobe.
Right.
I'm all for that because I hate Kobe. Yeah. Despicable human being.
What? What about the mask? Well, there's a mask that you can download. I guess this is the Laker girl that he had some problems with, I guess. I don't know.
Who had problems with?
Kobe.
Kobe.
He had problems with the Lakers.
The Dirty is going to break some big news soon.
Yeah.
Oh.
You don't remember the story like last week that Kobe's wife like chased some Laker girl out of the Staples Center?
Is she hot?
I don't know.
Well, she's a Laker girl. I would assume she's at the very least.
She's
decent.
Like 18 too.
Somebody's at the phone at the door. Who is it?
Hey, everybody, this is John Rook, host of Patriots Playbook, live from my mother's basement with Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day.
Well, two-gender in Gary's absence has done one that relates to our friend Melissa Stark. And today's is Can Crusher. That's Can Crusher.
All right.
Look it up and learn it. Even the 12-year-old. Look it up on...
Learn it.
UrbanDictionary.com.
Know it.
Look up Can Crusher. You'll learn something. You can put it to use in a couple of years.
That website should be buying us lunch, too.
Urban Dictionary. Yeah, we definitely increase their traffic.
All right. Let's see. Joe from Rosendale.
Fred, quick aside.
It's Fred's girl up on the screen.
I know. Rachel Nichols.
Elvira.
She's not bad looking.
Have you noticed she's been scooping the cut of the tops a little bit more lately and revealing a disgusting lack of breasts.
Yeah, that's not good.
There is nothing there. There is absolutely nothing there.
If you're going to do that, you got
right.
Gotta,
all you see is the bone, her breast bone. There's like no bulge of breasts.
Disgusting lack of skin color.
Well, that too, but she's a pale, flat chested, big butted, red haired.
All right.
What does Imus call him?
All right. Let's see. Joe from Rosendale. I have offered to buy lunch a couple times, but I just bury it in an overlong email. That way you guys probably don't take me up on it, but it gets rid of my free rider guilt.
Well played, my friend.
Anyway, after hearing Paul's
guilt, there's guilt listening and not buying.
Well, you know, it is free service that we're providing here.
Yeah, I don't feel guilty when I listen to Kiss 108. I don't send them anything.
Yeah, but they have real advertising. All we have is Gridiron Grillers.
Do you feel guilty not paying us?
Yeah.
And being a free rider?
Well, actually, that's a good segue into this email.
Okay.
Paul. Very good.
I didn't even know that.
You must have read this.
I didn't read it.
Anyway, he says, after hearing Paul's true confession last week about the PFW staff salaries, I have to put the offer front and center. If what Paul gave is vague numbers or even close to true, I have a whole new perspective on you guys begging for lunch over the internet, and I have regained some respect for you cork soakers. Let me know the details, and I'll hook you up.
So, two-gender, put that on file.
Get that on the spreadsheet.
Now on to Kasier. How far can this team fall and how fast? I can't wait to get back to the season when football will hopefully be back on the agenda. But in the meantime, three drug arrests, a cheating scandal, a league HGH suspension, et cetera, et cetera. I am a lawyer with admittedly no criminal experience, but some of my colleagues and I were discussing essentially what the Globe wrote today. The feds had some stuff on Kasier to get that kind of cooperation. Plus, 100-plus pills every few days is scary. At least the speculation about dealing, or worse, that this guy was supplying teammates. Can Belichick get a handle on things? Will the Crafts have to step in? Is Kasier going to be cut?
Yeah, Fred, I'd like to read you a quote from this USA Today story about the Patriots. And it's from David Carter, executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. And he says, with success comes different expectations and a much brighter light is shined on the organization. While the Patriots brand might not be what it was a year or two ago, it can be very strong. It depends on how the owners deal with this and whether they have a forceful commitment to turning it around. Do you believe there is something in need of a forceful commitment to turning it around?
No.
I don't really either.
I don't. I think that, you know, when you talk about off-field issues, okay, every team's got them right.
Right.
I mean, Marvin Harrison.
It's the world we
Marshawn
live in.
Marshawn Lynch.
I think
there's stuff going on Kevin all
Paul
throughout
and
the league.
Tom Brady were considered the backbone of veteran leadership and great guys up until this offseason. Now one is having a kid out of wedlock and one is on a drug charge. I mean, they're the same guy. The guy didn't change for the most part, a couple of years ago to now. So how is ownership now have to take a closer look at who they bring in? You're telling me now Tom Brady, because he had a kid out of wedlock, isn't a quality individual you want to bring to a professional sports team? Isn't that a little ridiculous?
I think so.
I mean, I agree. They've had, you know, a consecutive run here of stories, you know, weekly, monthly.
But that's one of those things. If the Tom Brady situation was one of two things or whatever, I don't even think it would be brought up.
Right.
But when you have a list of six or seven other things and then you make it.
And you're trying to put together a list.
You're enhancing it with something else. And you add Tom Brady to the list. I don't think that's a big deal at all.
I mean, let's look at the list they used in their story. Rodney Harrison suspended 4 games, human growth hormone.
Legit.
Tom Brady, father, child, out of wedlock.
That's not legit.
Randy Moss.
No pun intended.
Right. True.
Randy Moss hit with a restraining order and later dropped.
Not legit.
Paul? We're playing a game here. Legit or not legit?
Legit.
Why?
Oh.
Well, it happened.
Oh.
What happened? They were fooling around, and, you know, she got mad at him. Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
Willie Anders arrested Lowell Mass.
Legit.
2 days after.
Legit.
Kevin Falk, misdemeanor, possession of marijuana.
That's legit. I mean, it's...
It's funny. I go not legit on that one, based
happened
after.
Right, but, you know, he had it on him, and he got caught. But he didn't get arrested, by the way.
That's why I say not legit on that one.
But it's still... The incident is legit. He was cited or whatever it's called.
There was an incident.
Right.
Yes.
And then, that's it up until the Kasier thing.
You know, it's not to me, the sky is not falling.
I agree.
You know.
I just don't, and I also don't think, I think there's a difference.
And besides, even if it was, we're embracing the hate in 08.
But I think there's a difference between doing what the Bengals do, which is flat out taking on guys that have well-known records. Odell Thurman, Ahmad Brooks, I don't know, I'm sure there's others.
Frosty Rucker.
But these guys are guys we knew doing our draft research had serious red flags, and they choose to bring them in.
They release Kasier?
Worse.
What?
Just got this headline from...
Read it!
Dan Two-Gender.
Jesus.
You have a bad poker face. We know you're only being sarcastic.
Patriots have released rookie Mike Dragosevich.
Oh, we were right.
Aren't we? Hunter. Now, he performed last night at karaoke.
Yes, so he was that bad.
He must have been really bad.
No, we speculated player would be out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
we were wrong.
But the thing that
we also
were
noted
right
that he sucked
is,
the other day.
You know, when he wasn't, when the punts weren't hitting the roof of the low roof of the field house, they weren't looking quite as majestic.
Right. He was about one for every three would be a decent punt, I would say, the other day at
I'm mildly surprised by that. I thought they would let the rookie fight it out with one of the veterans rather than two veterans.
I'm just happy Scott Player's still here. I like the way he looks.
Oh, boy.
Have you seen him?
Not like that.
He looks like Yosemite Sam.
Speaking of hoping that you have that one on tape.
Right.
He's cracking
Are
up
you
in
doing
there.
Anything
He's
in
not
there?
Taping anything but laughing.
Why don't you go effort finding us some Diet Pepsi? I can't get through this whole show without a Diet Pepsi.
You're an intern.
I'm having
after
the DTs
all.
Over here.
Gary from Syracuse, when the Patriots brass drafts players, do you think they go out of the box on purpose to make their legend even more great when it comes to finding the diamond in the rough? Just seems that instead of making a pick that makes sense, they pick someone that hardly anyone knows. If you guys believe this is true, do you think it is because of the Tom Brady syndrome?
No.
No.
No. And Tom Brady was not a guy that hardly anyone knew.
Right. It's just a guy hardly anyone wanted at that point.
Right. There's a difference.
Right. He actually went to a pretty big school.
I think Logan Mankins might be really the only example of a guy that just waylaid everybody. No one really knew who he was. The position was kind of odd where they took it, and the guy just became an all-pro. I mean, they
See,
nailed it.
I just
it.
Think that's
they
one where
it.
They went obvious need.
But they, I mean, I don't
they
think a lot of...
They needed him. They needed a body at that position. They said, okay, maybe he's...
No, it was definitely... No, it was
but
no they, question it's a
but
need
that doesn't
pick.
Mean that body gets to the Pro Bowl.
It was no question it was a need pick, but I'm just saying...
Well, I don't think they necessarily knew for sure that they had a Pro Bowl, all-pro guy when they drafted
they did.
Him.
I think they were
sure they had a starter, a guy they could put out there and play and
I think by drafting
with.
Him in the first round like they did, they knew this guy was good. He's
well,
good.
Then does that mean all the first-rounders that they've taken that haven't been in the Pro Bowl were bad picks?
Yes.
Like Daniel Graham,
they weren't as
Benjamin
good as they
Watson.
Thought they would be.
Come on,
well,
Fred.
To be fair, I think they thought Daniel Graham would be a Pro Bowl tight end.
But my point is that you can't, you don't
Big
just, you don't draft every guy and say, well, he'll be in the Pro Bowl in 3 years. I mean, you can't, I mean, no one's that good.
No, but you, when you draft a guard in the first round, you're like, this guy's a sure thing. Because, you know, they don't usually draft guards in the first round.
No, he's flat out said that we would never do that. And, you know, he was a tackle in college that they moved to guard. So I suppose you could get by on technicality there.
Yeah.
But
Brian Murray tried to.
I'm just making the point that this that was the true out-of-the-box pick that no one saw. No one saw the position. No one saw the player. And they nailed it. You know, for the most part, I don't think their picks are – anywhere near as tricky as
See,
they're made out to be. I mean, I read a whole thing in Sports Illustrated. I read a whole thing in Sports Illustrated about 3 weeks ago from a good my good buddy Jim Trotter, who I love. I think he's excellent. He used to work in the San Diego Union Tribune. Now he works for SI. Talking about how,
you
once again, they caught us all off guard by picking Gerard Mayo, a linebacker. They never pick linebackers. I mean,
it's funny.
It's easy to say that. They never do. But, I mean, I don't know how many times he has to pick a guy that everybody says they'll never do before everybody stops saying they'll never do it. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
right.
it was probably the Mankins pick that knocked me over the head and said, all right, nothing's off,
but I,
off
well,
base.
I
think he's talking
about
later
the
round
Mayo
picks.
Because
pick when he referencing Brady, I think he's talking about Matthew Slater or
Matt
back-to-back tight ends, a couple of Garrett Mills and you know, when they did that, or I think he's talking about that kind of stuff more so than the top picks. And I don't think they make picks saying, you know what, we'll really trick people. We'll take, I think they make a pick because they see a guy that they like for some reason.
And they have their own value board. They have, you know, what's good on this team may not be the same value on another.
And I think
team.
You could argue that they place a higher importance on specific
Yes.
contributions
do
more so than
job.
Other teams do.
Do
so if
job.
They think Matthew Slater can be a very good special teamer, they'll draft him.
Right.
Whereas other teams, I think, look at the athlete, the total package. Can I get a value? I think they look at specific goals that they have for a guy. Can he
right.
do this?
That's where I think they might be different. Because I think other teams might have looked at a guy like Matthew Slater and said, he can do A, B, and C. I'll see if I can get him as a priority free agent. Whereas Belichick says, I think he can do A, B, and C. I put a priority on that.
Right.
That can help us. I'll take them in the fifth round.
Right. And maybe they have a luxury of doing that because they have
there's
a talented
there's
roster.
There's no question. They don't make a pick like
right.
that in 2000 or 2001.
Right. right. They need to pick a guy who could be a starter on defense if we hit it this kind of right, if we really you know, work this right.
No, they probably don't even make a pick like Dave Thomas and Garrett Mills
right.
a couple of years ago back in 2001, you know, or 2002 when they were trying to really
Be Jabari Holloway and
Arthur Love.
Arthur
but
Love.
That wasn't, you know, that
no,
was a little bit more spread out, and they had no tight ends on the
right.
roster at all at the time. This is Dave Thomas and Garrett Mills. You're looking for a third tight end.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you're picking them back-to-back.
Or maybe they just don't pick well, and they need to pick a few and hope one of them's good.
Maybe. Let's see. Belichick, this is from Chris Simonelli. Maybe it's me, but I don't remember ever seeing him in the press so much. At Celtics games, charity, public speaking events.
Thing.
You guys read anything into this? A
yes.
repairing of his image, perhaps?
Yes.
Also, don't
I
know...
I was thinking he's paying less attention to football.
Well, actually, it goes counter to what Chris is saying. Don't know if you guys saw on NFL Network, but Schefter reported last week that Belichick is revitalized by the loan loss last year. Schefter said that it has brought back a renewed sense of enthusiasm and energy, making Belichick more determined than ever. Don't know if he could be more determined than he was last year. Nevertheless, though, it's nice to hear things like that. And P.S., I'm on for lunch Tuesday, if you don't have anyone yet. And are you guys blogging this weekend?
Maybe yes. Gary. Occasionally.
Occasionally?
Yeah.
Why just occasionally?
Well, I got to see if I can get my computer to work, because I'll be here Saturday.
Paul's is not so live blogging.
Well, I had trouble with it the last time.
You should get it to work now so that you know
right.
it works. And yeah.
Thanks, Fred.
You should get it to work.
Thanks, Fred.
Yeah.
I would completely disagree with Adam Schefter's characterization of Bill Belichick, by the way. I think that he was completely devastated by that loss. I don't think he has any reinvigoration
right.
or whatever word he used to describe it. I think he was completely and totally devastated by that loss. And I think it took him a long time to... You know, to even start to get over it. He's probably not over it yet and probably won't be. Now, that doesn't mean he's not. I think he's as dogged and determined as any other. Did you see any lack of focus last year at all, you know, as he was going through probably the most tumultuous year of his life?
No.
I wouldn't think that there would be any worries about a lack of focus or drive or any of that stuff. But to say that he's somehow using that loss as a springboard, I don't agree with that at all. I think that was a devastating loss for him.
But we have talked about that he's been more in the public eye, and we've sort of speculated that it has to do with his lady friend, that maybe she likes to be out there. Maybe
yeah,
she's a more public
I don't
public
know how
person.
Much we should talk about stuff like this, but I think the Spygate thing also was probably, you know, someone, I think the Christian, I think, said something about rehabbing his image a little bit, and I do think there's something to that.
Nah, I don't really.
I think certainly when it comes to things for the organization, I know that to be true.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm talking about going to a basketball game, strictly a social.
I don't count that.
I think that is he was at times in his life going through some things. Now he's not going through them anymore. He's a human being. He has a girlfriend. They, you know, he's a celebrity, so he can call the Celtics and say, I'd like to come to the Celtics tonight. And they say, okay, you're sitting courtside. You know what I mean? I just think it's now where he's
that's
at.
Different
he's at
to
a
me.
Different spot in his life right now.
Yeah, that's a different. I'm talking about what he's talking about in terms of speaking engagements and things like that. That maybe he's been asked to do many times over the years and hasn't always wanted to do them. And I think maybe he's in a little bit of a different situation right now and maybe feels more compelled to do them.
Right. Yeah, I'm talking about the social. I think he's just.
The games,
being
I
a
think
human
is,
being,
is,
being
is,
a guy
is,
who...
Yeah, that's a different argument.
As I said, has a girlfriend, has a place to go, you know, does what he... I just think he went through a couple of years personally that weren't necessarily the most conducive to being in the public eye and being out partying at a Celtics game.
TG and NJ writes in, oh no, it's June, we're in the doldrums of the offseason and Tom is out. Wonder if you guys will even make any attempt to talk about football at all.
Yeah, I'm surprised we're even having shows.
Right.
Tom's not here.
Yeah.
It's true.
Come
we're
on, guys.
Without him.
Everybody knows, especially at this time of year, that Paul is only there because EEI didn't call. Andy is there because he uses the show as a forum to insult everybody and everything. Fred shows up
especially
as
you idiot.
Fred shows up as an excuse to procrastinate and get away from doing his real job, whatever that is.
That's
running
a museum
for Brian.
Gary doesn't give a crap. He just plays solitaire the whole time. He doesn't even hit the sound bites as much as he used to.
Didn't even show
and
up
he
today.
Refuses to get his mic fixed. And I still don't know why or how Eric has a job with the organization at all. Seriously, what are you doing really? Eating lunch and watching TV? regardless, I'm here listening. I wouldn't miss
usually
a single minute.
Usually drinking Diet Pepsi, too, but yeah. I didn't have any Diet Pepsi today.
I wouldn't miss a single minute. Even without football talk, you guys are way more interesting than anything else out there on the radio, internet, or satellite. Someday the rest of the world will know what we loyal PFW listeners know, and then the whole thing will be spoiled. As soon as you guys get the sponsorships and maybe find your way to satellite radio or the like, the show will change. It will have to. It will be more about the ratings than getting together and talking about Patriots football over lunch. I can hear it now. I used to listen to them way back when they were nothing but a bunch of obnoxious douchebags talking about the Patriots over the internet. Man, it was way better back then. They would say anything, no censorship whatsoever. They had this guy on, Andy Hart. He had absolutely no filter at all. The stuff that would come out of his mouth would have even Opie and Anthony diving for a seven-second delay button. They would go on about how they were all a bunch of fat, hairy, back, Skittle-shooting fags that couldn't get laid because of their lower intestinal issues. Man, they were good back then.
Fred, you really should, you know.
It's the email. I didn't write it.
We'll never change.
Unless
we get on real radio, then screw you guys.
Yeah.
We're collecting a paycheck. You're
if we're
out.
On satellite radio, I don't think we're changing.
No, we don't have to.
But if we're on real radio, I would imagine we'd have to kind of clean it up a little bit.
I would hope our listeners would understand if we sell out, you know, we're actually getting paid.
And TG, I generally try to keep my EEI appearances on non-show days, like last week I did on Friday. You know, I don't want to interrupt our schedule. Only Andy takes his vacation on Tuesdays.
Are you telling us now that you have clout there that you can actually tell them when you want to do it?
Yeah.
Wow.
They asked me on Monday when I want to do it.
Wow. That's awesome.
And they say, well, Lou Maloney's not available these days. Do you want him?
Hey, there might be a little of that in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
But you should get a shtick like Maxwell.
Other than Andy.
Just make fun of Larry Bird.
Other than Andy, who, you know, decides, you know, I'm taking Tuesdays off. One of the days that we have a show, he decides to take off the rest of the summer.
As I told you, my old contract obligations were for one show per week in the offseason. You guys change the schedule.
Frank from Winnipeg says, why doesn't Belichick do a guest spot for PFW in progress? I can see Bill on this show.
That's one of the funniest things that anybody's ever said.
I wish we could, like, just once, have him walk through that door and be like Wes Welker.
But you wouldn't
like,
act say the way you usually do.
Oh, I wouldn't. I'll be the first to admit.
But my point is, I want him to say to you, Fred, I've been listening to that show. It's pretty funny. You guys have fun. You know, it's out there.
Well, if he ever did
I want
that,
to take part in that.
If he ever did that, then I would act the same.
If I didn't know what
happen.
The rules were going in, I'd sit here with my mouth shut, my head down.
I would nod and say, yes, sir, no, sir. I would. Right. I'm not going to be a fraud about it.
Oh, wait.
I would
and I'm
change.
The only one who would be different, Fred? You're going to yell, I love it in the can?
Gary's here. Are
we not talking speaking about loving it in the can.
Oh, I explained it, Gary. It's okay.
Gary's
it's Pepsi.
Up today.
You know, the liquid we don't have any of. You losing weight, Gary?
Gary, there were
you
10,
trying for the wedding?
There were 10 cases
he sucks
of,
down a buffalo wing.
There were 10 cases of Diet Pepsi.
And nods yes as he's doing it.
Do you know who took them?
Yeah, there was like a whole pot. I swear I did not take it.
He's pointing at Paul.
Gary, I swear I did not take it. I swear.
In the can.
No,
he took it in the bottle.
Anyway, Frank goes on, sad to hear that Eric will be leaving the show. Eric could do a kick-ass remote interview from Belichick's office. They could sit around the coffee table and talk football or whatever. Belichick likes Eric. They share the experience of being cruelly treated by the media.
I don't think he likes Eric.
I bet you he's not.
Now,
non-committal.
Why would he not like Eric?
Non-committal.
Because no one likes Eric.
But seriously.
I stunned you there with that response, didn't I?
No, it just made me laugh. But Eric has never done anything
useful.
To Bill. But nothing either way to Bill. I mean, why would he not like...
Oh, he's come out with some nice articles that I'm sure have gotten to his desk.
Well, I'm not.
He's not.
I think the only things that get to his desk are things that the other guy reads that he doesn't like.
Really?
That's the problem. In my opinion, that's the problem. He doesn't know how many things that we write that are over the top good. He only knows the couple of them that are, you know, catch his eye the other way. Up, Gary's off to do another meeting.
Josh in Arlington says, someone should tell Anthony from Naples that Travis Henry has 9 kids with 5 different women. Get the facts straight. The guy is a loser, but don't do yourself the disservice of talking about childish Patriots fans making stupid statements about a player and then bash someone with the wrong info. The key to talking trash about anyone is making sure you don't say anything unfounded in the process.
Yeah, there's a big difference there.
Listener crime. I like it.
I like it. It's good.
We miss a good emailer feud. Remember those Sawyer and the other guy?
Yeah.
Sharon.
Shannon.
Whatever
happened to them?
That was good. That was good Iowa on Iowa crime.
Chris from the Bronx, glad to hear Tom is doing well, not only for his own good, but for selfish reasons. Now that he's going to be okay, we can still make fun of him. Some Pat's 2008 predictions, if you would. Offensive MVP.
Tom Brady.
2008.
Unless we get sick of voting for Tom Brady, Tom Brady.
I got to stick with Tom.
How about we go just...
No, I'm going to go out on a limb, El Maroney.
That's what I was going to say. If it's not Tom Brady, if we're going to say, then I'll go Maroney.
If it's not Brady, I have to go Moss.
I say Moss only plays in 12 or fewer games this year.
Okay. Defensive MVP. It's a tough one.
Adalis Thomas.
That's a good choice, Paul.
I was thinking of him.
That's a good one. I like Paul's.
You're going to go with Adalis Thomas, too?
Did you ever wonder how condescending he can be even when he's complimenting you?
Yeah. No. But
in other words, he looks at me with this stunned look like, I can't believe you said something I actually agree with.
Right.
I actually think was founded in thought.
Mine's for selfish reasons, though. So I can say, see, I told you on the outside he'd be more valuable.
I'm going to go out on a limb once again. And people the limb will snap. At me. Ellis Hobbs.
Okay.
I'll laugh because that's the dumbest thing you've said.
Rookie of the year.
Mayo.
Mayo?
Yeah.
I'm going to go a little out of the box.
Matthew Slater.
Terrence Wheatley.
Okay. That's not that out of the box, though.
I said a little out of the box.
Special teamer of the year.
Special teamer of the year. They have that?
I'd say Kelly Washington. Sure. Yeah.
Steven Gostkowski.
Okay. Offensive lineman most likely to aid an undercover drug sting.
Now, if you've won it previously, are you not allowed to be?
If you've already done it.
Right.
Does that eliminate you?
It's like when we do them for the paper, most likely to make the Pro Bowl, and if, we don't consider guys who made it last year.
Two more questions. Do you have access to any upcoming workouts, and can you blog for them? You'd make your fans very happy.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
We will have workouts on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We should probably add that because usually in the past, Fred, we haven't had access on Sunday.
Right.
They're having a short afternoon practice on Sunday that the media is allowed to be in attendance, and we will be on hand for that. Eric will be here for that. So I guess we kind of have access, but we don't because everyone...
You won't have any good information coming out of it. You're relying on Eric's eyes and football knowledge.
And we will do our best to blog along the way.
He'll have the laptop on to blog, but he'll have an ongoing game of Scrabble with his girlfriend in Delaware.
That's true.
You know they play online Scrabble, Fred?
No.
When he gets a girl, he does gay things with the girl.
Gary, why don't you turn the microphone over here and participate in the show from this side of the glass? Be a new thing.
Tell us about the diet. How much have you lost? You have a microphone that works. No, it doesn't work anymore.
Now he's pulling an Eric and just not talking. Now he got
it's
mad.
A shield.
How much have you lost?
I don't know.
10 pounds? 20 pounds?
72? No, I don't know.
No, you weren't that fat.
Just wearing bigger clothes today, Andy, that's all.
Are you? You going with the Fred Kirch approach, huh?
I got a belt, though.
He's unbelievable. He's
big,
relentless.
Big.
Just relentless.
It is. It's an assault.
He's like those mosquitoes outside that just won't go away.
If you cry, I'll stop.
I know. You.
That's my rule. Deidre cried once and I stopped.
Only you cry.
I'm never
you made
happy.
Your wife cry. You criticized.
I gave her the "if you cry, I'll stop" rule.
You criticized.
I forgot what it was.
Your
for.
Wife to the point where
I
you
think
made
she
her
was
cry.
Hormonal at the time.
You really are just a despicable human being.
Mensa from the Bronx, for you, for guys like you who work for an elite organization like the Patriots and making big bucks.
Elite? I'm not sure.
It is strange that you are always begging for somebody to buy you lunch.
We don't make big bucks,
and we don't have lunch
Fred
provided
does.
For us by this lucrative organization.
And he spelled lunch wrong. He spelled it launch. Now to my
That's
question.
The rocket scientist guy.
Now to my question. What do you think of Nick Cager? I will be very apprehensive working with somebody like him who can wear a concealed taping device. You know what we call people like this in New York? We call them snitches. He doesn't have to take that
Pretty
stuff
much
for pains.
Else, too.
There are a lot of pain-killing medications available to them from the team medical staff.
I'm not sure about that. If Nick Cager came and said on Friday afternoon, I need something for the weekend. Why don't you give me 100 of those oxys? I don't think the trainer is going to hand out 100 oxys. I think that's against their code and license and every other rule they follow. I think he could probably go to somebody in the locker room. I think it's available if he really wanted to get
it. At the
it.
Very least, does he get suspended? You know, the 4-game suspension?
For the substance abuse
violation?
No. Not unless he was already in the program. Was he already in the program?
That's not considered any kind of performance enhancer? That's not on the banned substances list?
I don't think it's considered a performance enhancer. I think that's only
steroids and uppers and whatever those are. Now, you could argue it's a performance enhancer based on, you know, getting through the pain and that kind of crap.
But I'm not arguing whether it is or not. I'm wondering.
No, I do not believe they do. So if this is his first thing, he would just enter the program. He would not be.
Uh-oh, the emailer on emailer crime, Josh from Arlington, has recalled his email that I just read.
It's too late. You already read it.
And now he says, I looked up and realized I did not know what I was talking about. I should shut the hell up.
He was giving him rules on how to make fun of other people, and then he screwed up. Nice. I don't understand that whole email recall thing, because you can read it.
Right.
I
don't know.
It doesn't disappear.
I don't understand half the tools on that email.
And he's the guy that
is
this
he's the executive
man?
Director of New Media, doesn't understand Microsoft Outlook. What a freaking joke.
I tried to reply to an email. I was out of the office for 2 weeks. I don't know what I know what happened.
You know what Skype is?
I love when he turns into his Jackie Mason. I tried to reply to an email. I was out of the office for 2 weeks.
Dan at Fairfax, I think my favorite game was the St. Louis game in 04. The Pats had just been blown out by Pittsburgh. Ty Law was out for the year. They were in the midst of 4 road games in 5 weeks, and there was just a lot of doubt about what would happen for the rest of the year. Troy Brown came in and played corner. Vinatieri threw to Brown on a fake field goal, and Corey Dillon bounced back from his injury to return to form. The game was a lot of fun, and we knew things were going to be okay. That was
interesting.
Huge, you know,
shocker
backs
on my
against
end.
The wall. Circle the wagons game for the Patriots because they were playing the one team that could take advantage of the things that were really hurting them at the time, and they overcame it.
As stunned as I've ever
probably
been,
the best game planning game Belichick has ever had. One of them.
We were quiet, so he started to get worried. What did I say?
One of them. The Denver.
Yeah, so I don't really remember a whole lot about that game.
I just remember thinking they were going to.
I know.
Get
I remember,
remember
the game. I just don't remember
everybody
a whole lot
hurt
about that game.
And
they gave out the nice notepads.
Touchdown pass.
In the yeah, press
the
box,
stunk.
They had those notepads. Edward Jones Dome. They're nice thick.
Yeah.
Notepad.
No, I remember
I still
that.
Got that.
I do. I remember the sack on Brady too, and the fumble and recovered for a touchdown for the Rams. And I remember Vinatieri's throw to Brown on the fake field goal.
Right.
You can hear me?
I can kind of hear you, but a lot of crackles. What's going on?
The Denver Monday night game in 03, Pats at Colts from 03, that was a great game.
The Denver Monday night game in 03 was a tremendous game.
And the Pat, the field, the goal line stand with McGinnis.
Another tremendous regular season game.
Yep.
Yeah, that fake injury really.
The San Diego game in 01, the Minnesota game in 1994 where Bledsoe set the passing records, and the comeback in the last 2 minutes at Buffalo in 95 were all great games too. So...
None of you guys.
Oh, I remember the 95 game as well. Yes, that was
none of you guys
comeback.
Include any 85 run to the Super Bowl? No.
You know what hurt about that? It was that a lot of those games weren't on TV.
Oh, okay.
Weren't on TV at the time. That, not all of them.
What about the AFC right? title game?
Now, the playoff games were great, but they were looking for something outside of playoffs, I thought. Outside of Super Bowls, I think the original question was.
Because that 80,
back to the 40s with Paul.
Right.
Well played, young two-gender.
let's see.
Was he alive then? Were you alive then? No? What year were you born?
85.
Oh, my God almighty.
He was born that year.
I was drunk, and he wasn't even alive. Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Larry the Drunk from Ireland, speaking of. He says steroids make you grow hair. Took some after I injured my knee, and I looked like Grizzly Adams for a few weeks.
Now, are steroids legal in Ireland, Larry?
He said they were prescribed.
Oh.
He's got a small penis and he's drunk a lot. That's why he's so angry.
Yeah, imagine that. An Irish guy on steroids. That thing shrink.
Oh, God.
Just a little nub.
Larry the Drunk always sends like 5 different versions of his email.
He's drunk.
And every time
he just keeps hitting that thing.
Every time he resends it, it like reformats. So
shut up, woman. I'm emailing here.
On the 5th one, it's like 1 word per line and it's all weird.
And it's the same email?
Yeah, it's the same email.
He's drunk. Leave him alone. Up. There's Nick Kasher arrested on ESPN Sports Center again.
Craig from
Fox. What do you think of his
beard?
comments when approached by the Globe?
I don't know what you're talking about, bro.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to talk about it. I mean, that's the whole idea of going undercover, isn't it?
No,
my
I know,
goodness.
But your cover is clearly blown when they're asking you about
it. I think the Globe, if anything ever happens to Nick Kasher, The Globe's in big trouble.
I don't. I think the lawyer who confirmed it is the guy who's
in
trouble.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not the paper for reporting
its
fault.
Come on, I want to even things out. I want to get the
I think the people
trouble.
That should be in trouble, Fred, I'm with you.
Globe in trouble.
I'm with you. I think people should be in trouble, just not the paper. I should be the people that leaked the information to the paper.
Let's be honest. They claim they have at least three sources, so.
Have you seen the ESPN commercial where they dance?
Yeah, you really
funny.
Like this commercial,
I think
don't
it's funny.
You?
It's terrible.
Of course, Jose Reyes hasn't had a hit since this commercial came out. But
it's just not like funny. The guy in the background, just kind of.
It's not funny. Read an email.
Let's see. Craig in Boxborough. Pat Patriot has to be one of the worst mascots in the league.
Well, Gary's here. Let's discuss this with Gary.
The Minutemen in the end zone should be the mascots. Talk. Pat Patriot is just too boring. Give him a four-wheeler, like Andy mentioned. It's a great idea.
How about a horse, Gary? Can we get him a horse? And he rides in yelling, the Colts are coming. The Colts are coming.
There he goes.
Can he get a horse? A fake horse? A motorcycle with a fake horse put on top of it?
We'll look into that.
Seriously?
Probably not.
Fred says your budget is unlimited if the idea is good. Can we get t-shirt launchers?
I wouldn't do a horse because that's what the Broncos do.
See?
But you
and
have
the Colts
to play to your fact that he is a Patriot, ties you into the Paul Revere era of Patriots on horses. We got to have something. Let's be honest. The mascot stinks.
Why don't we shoot
Steely
him in
McBeam
on a missile?
Steely McBeam is killing him in the poll.
We could shoot him in on a Patriot missile.
Patriot missile, fine. Latch on to that. Something, anything.
Raytheon tie-in.
Yeah. Raytheon, the official missile provider.
And bring back Victor Kiam.
Yeah.
Sure.
I got some of those Patriot missile pins.
Zeke Mowat can be introduced.
All right. Gary, we got to do something. Can we have a brainstorming meeting? Spice up the mascot and game presentation?
I really don't have much to do with the mascot.
Who runs the mascot? Are we back to Fred?
I was going to say, isn't the mascot a cheerleader, like under the cheerleader?
Well, yeah, but he gets his cues for game time entertainment from you.
A lot of finger pointing in this room, and no one willing to say that it sucks and we need better.
It's unbelievable.
Can't play the bus kind of running over people.
Anyway.
Right, can we have the mask? Can you do something with the mascot then?
We actually looked into one of those zip cord things where
what
you come in on the zip cord.
Whoa. You know what happened to Owen Hart, the Blue Blazer,
a lot
right?
of liability there.
Yeah, the Blue Blazer died.
I know.
Even I'm not dumb enough to put somebody coming down a zip line. Keep him on the ground. Worst thing that happens on a four-wheeler is he crashes into a wall, maybe concussion.
Right.
Breaks an arm or something.
If he falls out of the 300 level, he dies.
Speaking of memorable games for me, I would have to say that the first AFC Championship game against the Colts and this year's opening game against San Diego in the home opener when they announced Bill Belichick, the stadium roared. It was an incredible atmosphere the week after Spygate. And lastly, another game that comes to mind is David Patton's rushing, receiving, and passing touchdowns against the Colts in Indy.
That was
pretty cool to see.
That was more of a statistical, like, that was the day
and
he did.
And thoughts
yeah.
and prayers to Tom and his family. That's crazy.
I like
the opener
like the
at
close
Gillette.
Games.
That was a pretty electric night.
Yeah, it was boring.
When they beat up on the Steelers.
I'll tell you, what's the game that almost, was the end of me, believe it or not, was that Texans regular season game that they won in overtime that Daniel Graham caught the touchdown twice.
Fourth and goal.
Yeah.
First ever 12-point touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to get up. And
Fred was not in a good way.
I was not happy.
That, you know what that was like? What was the game?
Wes Welker when they grabbed him.
What was the game? Are they going to call any fouls in this game? He's like Tommy Heinsohn. They're going to call it a hard foul?
Oh, that was like the first play of the game. It's like,
I know.
On.
It was. I think it was the first offensive play.
And I looked at Andy that day. I go, I'm not busting his balls today. Because you usually just let the listeners know, Andy and I like to see how quickly we could send Fred into orbit every game. And that game, we both looked at each other and said, I ain't doing nothing today.
No, I mean, first, right off the bat, they're grabbing the guy. You got to set.
What? There's not going to be a flag on this?
You have to set the tone if you're the ref. If you let them get away with it, they're going to keep doing it. Oh, God. Jim in Orlando says, hey, bitches, I've been a while since I listened in. What a surprise. We have another dark cloud over the team. On your subject of Oxy, my stepdaughter got hooked on those damn things by a doctor, and even my mother has been on them. Once hooked on this drug, you would have to go on methadone treatment to be weaned off of it, or you can die from withdrawals. 20 a day is a bit much, but availability may be a reason to stock up. I don't wish it on anyone. Get well, Nick. You got a hard road ahead. As far as you bitches, great hearing your show. Let's get the perfect season and piss on the haters.
Yeah, my medical source would definitely concur with that email about the methadone.
It's like rich man's heroin.
More than likely would be needed, and if he's taking upwards of 20 a day, as
methadone's
if he was
another drug,
himself,
right?
That's how you wean
they
yourself
put you on
off
that
the addiction.
Then...
Yes.
So there's a.
It's a serious, serious thing. It's a mess.
He can't beat that, because I mean he was arrested in late April. We're in early June. So he's been under the watch of something, right? I mean, he's been working with the DEA.
How do you know he hasn't done that? How do you know he hasn't done anything?
Oh, that he's been in like a methadone clinic?
Or something, some sort of rehab.
Well, he's here at camp.
How
long does it take?
I don't know.
Why is there a one-legged catcher on ESPN, Gary?
Why is Gary here with his headphones on but
contributing
to talk?
And I thought Eric was coming.
I guess he's
just breathing heavy.
Let's see.
Playing the role of Paul Perillo.
Iggy from Madrid. I just want to congratulate the webmaster of PFWinProgress.com. He's doing a great job. I found especially good the interactive map where I put my pin in Madrid.
Tremendous.
And it's not close to Egypt, Fred. Look at the map. Besides, do not tell Mr. Casale because he is a cocky son of a bitch. But we love him, not in a gay way, Eric. He is a heck of a journalist, funny, entertaining, a lot of football knowledge. Best wishes for a speedy recovery.
Boy, does he have him fooled.
He really does. He's done a good job at that.
It's an art.
I thought Fred was going to yell at me.
It's an art.
He really does. He's done a good
job.
He's
a professional.
Let's see. Who do you like tonight? Seltz or Lakers?
Seltz.
Seltz.
Everybody
I'm
likes
a homer.
Seltz. And will Big
Much
Brown
like
win the Triple Crown or will Casino Drive be the spoiler?
Casino Drive will not be the spoiler. Big Brown wins.
Okay.
Because all the experts tell me that he's a good horse and a crappy every time he races.
Does he win and then have to be put down at the end of the race?
Well, he's got that thing.
Hoof thing. The
Imagine
hoof.
That.
The hoof. It's a sin.
The guy just comes
hoof.
Right. He wins it all and they're putting that thing around his neck and ba-boom, blow him away.
What a psychopath.
That'd make for a great story.
Let's see. Owen in Belfast is wondering what you guys think of the crowd and atmosphere at Gillette Stadium.
Stinks.
Where would you guys rank the atmosphere at Gillette in line with the rest of the NFL?
Pretty low.
The rest of the NFL, I would say somewhere in the 20s.
I've been to two games over the last 3 years at Gillette. I was at the divisional playoff against the Colts in 05, and the atmosphere was incredible. I was sitting behind the end zone, and my ears almost popped. However, I was at the AFC Championship game against the Chargers this year, sitting at the halfway line on the lower deck, and I felt the crowd was far too quiet for a playoff game, never mind the AFC Championship. There were actually people behind me telling me to quiet down. No, Andy, I wasn't drunk, and I wasn't even that loud. How can the organization liven up the crowd? What measures would you guys propose that could possibly liven them up?
Four-wheeler.
I've heard that because the stadium is open, it doesn't hold noise well, but I've been to Heinz Field, which has a similar design, and the atmosphere was crazy with towels and chants. Finally, how much of an influence do you think crowd noise can have on referee decision-making?
On referee decision-making?
Yeah, I don't think much on them.
I don't think that
it
much.
It does have an effect on the play.
It can affect the game. Yeah. There's no doubt it can affect the game. We've seen it with false starts and things like that.
Yeah. And I think it affects referees. I don't know how to measure it, but I've seen too many of those where it's like a questionable contact in the secondary, and all of a sudden the guy under the goalpost throws a flag late, and you say, well, why is he throwing a flag?
You guys know what I think about that. What? They just stink.
Wait,
I don't think the fans
idea.
Affect it. They're just bad.
I just had an idea. It has nothing to do with what
you're
talking
about.
But one of the things that Owen is asking, he's like, do you know which Patriots are coming to Ireland with Matt Light in July or have any information on the trip? I think
we should go.
I think Copen was going.
It was most of the offensive.
But here's what we need to do.
But Mankins is not
Patriots,
going.
Patriots,
originally going.
Patriots do appearances all over the place, right? You know how like in Stern, they have people that will just yell out Baba Booey. Like in the middle,
right.
We need people, our fans, to yell out PFW in progress in different places to get the name out there.
Okay.
I think that would be cool. So if Matt Light's, you know, about the TO, somebody yells out PFW in progress.
I like it.
And start doing stuff like that.
They should wear a T-shirt when they do it.
We need to mobilize them.
We need the T-shirts out there.
So we'll do this. If you know of where a Patriot's going to be and you promise to do something like that, we will, in advance, mail you out a T-shirt so that you have it for the event.
I like it.
But then you have to follow up with proof that you did it.
He's got a Happy Gilmore now. Jackass!
I like it.
Okay.
That's not a bad idea, Fred, in your list of ideas.
It's PFW in progress.
Our jingle.
Let's see. What do we got here? Paulie in L.A., did you guys already cover Oliver Reed? I came in late and would love to know Tom's opinion. Well, Tom is...
Oliver Ross?
Yeah, you came in really late, Paulie. Tom is recovering from minor... Well, it's not minor. Any surgery getting cancer out of your throat is major. But that's what he's recovering from. They had a little cancer in his throat that they had to get out. So,
does he mean Oliver Ross? Who's Oliver Reed?
He said Oliver Reed. Oliver Reed is the guy that played Bill Sykes. I don't know.
I don't know who Bill Sykes is.
In Oliver.
What?
In the movie Oliver, the play. I don't know. He's an old Oliver Reed is like this old British actor. He's dead now.
Where's he now?
God.
Dead.
You're spiraling off the tracks here.
I you know, help me out here.
I don't know what you're talking about. I would love to help you
okay,
out.
Okay, Oliver
I'm
Ross.
I'm assuming he's talking about Oliver Ross, who is an offensive
veteran.
Lineman. Yeah.
Nah. Came off a year where he hurt his triceps, didn't play all year, hasn't played all that well in his 3 years in Arizona, had his best year 4 years ago as a right tackle for the Steelers.
He has some starting experience, which, you know.
Has played some guard.
Yeah. And some
versatile experience.
So,
for example, if you were forced to cut a third or fourth year starter at right tackle near the start of the summer and training camp, Oliver Ross wouldn't be a terrible guy to bring in to add depth. Right?
Right.
Okay. Because you are under the opinion, Fred, that Kazier is on the team or off the team but come September.
Well, I think when we first talked about it, I said he was on the team. We didn't know about
this. And
now
you believe he's off the team?
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with this. I really don't.
What do you mean when we first started talking
about
this?
I was talking about an hour and a half ago.
No, when we started, when they first signed Ross.
No,
I'm talking about now. The beginning of today's show.
Oh, I don't think I made a statement whether I thought he was going to be on it. I don't know. I don't know.
Could you pick one of the two?
That means he hasn't talked to anybody yet. Why do you have to give him such a hard time?
This Kazier guy, is he going to be on the team?
No chance, Fred. I don't really see him hanging around.
Josh writing in about the email recalls again. He said, if it's on your local system, oftentimes the message will disappear if it has not been read by the recipient. You can also choose to recall and replace the previous message. Sorry, Anthony from Naples, I was wrong. At least I can admit it, unlike Andy.
So I could email Bill, say, and write, I hate you, and then recall real quick, and it would come back to me.
Maybe.
He'd never see it, and I'd be like, yeah, I told him what I thought of him. I could do that?
You're such an idiot. You really are.
I don't think that works, because somebody emailed me once, and then I got another email saying, this person would like to recall previous email.
Because obviously you read it first.
Well, good point.
Larry the Drunk.
You really are an idiot.
It's since I had the colonoscopy. I've been left with no memory and terrible
That's
hemorrhoids.
That's how they do pants.
Larry the
my
Drunk
hemorrhoid.
Again.
Oh, did you know you can put hemorrhoid cream all over? Two gender. You should listen to this.
Oh, no. Here we go.
It's all the rage with clubbers. You put it all over your skin, and what it does is one of the ways it works is it tightens your skin.
Oh, prep.
So it makes your muscles look tighter. Yeah. You should try it if you had any muscles.
I saw that guy. He won a fat off. They had a fat guy contest at work. That guy that called the radio there. There was a Maddie in the Morning.
Oh, I don't know. I saw it on the Real News.
And they didn't do it just by weight loss. They did it by body percent, you know, fat index. And he had it all over his stomach, and he wrapped it in saran wrap overnight. So he won because his stomach was so tight the next morning that his his body fat was a lot lower than the other guy.
What about wedding, Gary?
Women with wrinkles? Why don't they just use that?
I think they do on their eyes. It tightens it. You put butt cream on your eyes.
Wow.
It's not working on my butt. It's been itchy for a week and a half now.
Oh, for crying out loud. You should learn how to wipe correctly, and then you'd be all set.
I wipe vigorously because that's the only time it feels really good.
All right, that's going to be it for this edition.
What about Larry the Drunk? He didn't even get to his email.
Yeah, the hell with it.
No, read it.
No, he I forget what he said. I hit delete, and I got some message.
Recall
about, yeah. All right, we're going to call it quits for today. We will see you next Tuesday. What are you doing, Gary? You're making signals.
I'm talking to Dan.
All right. All right, well, that's it.